This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Studio 54. Harvey Milk, Rough Trade, Aaron Fritz, Prom Date, Grid, Torchon Trilogy, Boy George, Angie, MHC, HIV Identified, Rock Hudson, Liberace Died, Reagan finally says the word, Bowers versus Harvey's Heard. Barney Frank, AIDS, Quilt, Act Up, Randy Schultz, Queer Nation, Maple Thor, Phase ET, Amendment 2, Cracker Barrel, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, HX, Cyber Sex, March on DC, Greg Louganis, Selton, John George Michael, What is going on, Lilith Fair, Rowdy Girls, Spend a Day at Disney World, Coonan and Scare, The Mick the Case, Ian Allen, Will and Grace, Matthew Shepard, God bless you, what else can we look forward to? Pride, pride, gotta have pride. We've been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Pride, pride, gotta have pride. We've been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Pride.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours. Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world, and welcome to this week's edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. I'm Jimmy Garper. I'll be your only co-executive producer for the evening. Chris is out this evening. He's unfortunately at the funeral of his grandmother.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of that going on recently.
So Bobby's sitting in with me.
Yep, Papa Merlin is here.
Yep. And I just read a fabulous letter that you wrote that for the Outsmart.
Yeah.
About moving
a little rant.
You certainly did, about moving the parade out of Montrose and just how you felt about it.
We can talk about that.
It certainly covered everything that I've thought about.
Yeah.
But we've got a packed show tonight.
We'll talk about the letter later.
We will. We've got the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star here.
Theater Suburbia.
Theater Suburbia is here. And as something special tonight, we've got the Lone Star Boys of Leather.
Ooh, they're going to
do
leather.
Oh yeah, they're going to do a little demonstration for us. So that ought to be fun.
Demonstration?
Yes, I don't know what they're going to do, but we'll be describing it in graphic detail.
Yes, you can bet on it.
Oh yes. So a couple of things that are going on in the community with ICOH. Of course, Sunday morning is breakfast at Mary's. If you need that cocktail at 10 in the morning, you can go to Mary's, have breakfast, and have that cocktail. Monday night is Montana's movie night at Mary's at 7-ish. As always, the Wednesday night jukebox show over there at Mary's at 8:30. The general meeting is at 7:30 at Legacy on Thursday. And no, that I'm reading this week's. Forget it. Okay, still breakfast, still Montana's movie night, still the jukebox show, and it also the Summer Sweat Fest starts through. Don't ask me.
Isn't that every year here?
Yeah, sure is.
From like April to September?
Friday being soiree at the Magnolia Ballroom, and you can get tickets.
Just there.
Yeah, oh.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you were there for.
Mm-hmm.
And next Saturday night is a show at EJ's for the Sweat Fest. So, let's see, a couple other things. This Sunday, like tonight, later on, so after you've gone to bed, you wake up, and that night, at Sunday at 7 p.m., the Colt 45s are having their 31st anniversary show at the BRB. Wow. They'd like to invite everyone to come out and have some fun with the Colts. All performers are welcome to help out, of course, and they've got something special going on because they have given out, about 15 stuffed bears to local clubs and organizations, After Hours being one of them. And we get to decorate the bears, bring them in, and then they auction them off.
Yay.
And
why do I see a bear wearing a pink glittering shirt?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't give that up.
Oh, of course.
No, it's pink. I wouldn't give it up. No. But the Colt board members will judge the most original bear, and the winner of that will get a large bear wearing a leather vest. And the bears will be in a silent auction.
Yay. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. The Gay Men's Chorus of Houston sings.
Oh, I still have my cold, sorry.
Out and Proud, Saturday, June 16th at 7:30 p.m. at Jones Hall in There's No Place Like Home, The Songs of Judy Garland. You go, girl.
Oh, my. That's going to be so queer.
From the Yellow Brick Road of Oz to the Riots of Stonewall, follow the life and loves of one of the most beloved figures in GLBT history.
Well, they had a hissy, too, as a matter of fact, back in 1969.
Very big hissy. It was a big, a little event, a little riot.
Yeah.
Tickets from $19 to $39. Tier 1 seats are almost sold out. Discounts available for groups of 10 or more. For more information, call the BCPA office at 713-521-7464.
This week at the Houston GLBT Community Center, as part of the Pride Month celebrations, come join some of the Community Center family at the GLBT Pride Interfaith Service on Sunday, 7 p.m. at Bering Memorial United Methodist Church, 1440 Herald. Clergy and lay people representing a number of faiths will come together to offer the service organized by P. Flag Houston and Burton Bagby. Also, the monthly informal dinners, GLBT Night at Hollywood, The monthly informal dinners hosted by the Houston GLBT Community Center continue on the second Tuesday of the month at the new home of the Hollywood Vietnamese and Chinese, 2409 Montrose Boulevard. Dinner begins at 6:30. This month we are honored to salute two vital community organizations, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History.
Yay.
And the Houston Transgender Unity Committee. There'll be door prizes donated by Outsmart. You don't have to RSVP if you plan to attend, but they always appreciate a heads up. Next.
And we have the Daddy Auction.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Saturday, June 16th, 9 o'clock.
That's by...
Please tell me that's 9 p.m.
Yes, that's...
okay, because...
That came to me from Lloyd Powell.
Okay. 100% of the proceeds going to AIDS Trouble Fund, the done by the Cult 45s. I have no idea what this 50 Daddy Bucks is, but hey, free with every drink from the bar at the Ripcord.
I think that's how they handle that.
Mm.
You know, you pay in play money.
Oh.
Yes.
I went to a con that was like, a sci-fi con that was like that once.
Yes.
That's very cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. So then that's benefiting AIDS Trouble Fund.
You bet.
It's still out there, folks.
It sure is. It sure is. And a wonderful organization that's helping out with that is right here in our studio audience.
Okay.
In our talk studio, it's the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Hello.
Hello.
Hadoo, dadoo.
Hadoo. Well, for those of us listening in on the radio, they can't see what I'm seeing, but
it's a mess.
It's really different. We've got some very tall girls and some short guys, and I don't know what's going on here.
I'm not short. I just don't have my heels on.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
You're a lot shorter than I normally see you.
Right.
I have hair to heaven.
You have Texas hair.
I have jacked up hair. Yes,
I do. You have. It seems that the boys are girls and the girls are boys tonight. Tell me what's going on.
Absolutely. It has been the Peasants Weekend, the Monarchs Weekend, and we're all revolting against each other to see who can raise the most money. And I have to tell you, I will brag a bit, being the reigning empress. The Peasants did a fabulous job last night at EJ's, and tonight we hosted our turnabout, our annual turnabout show, and look at them. This is just a little bit of what you can see.
It was absolutely amazing.
And I think we raised over $1,000 just tonight.
$1,000. That's incredible.
So it's unbelievable, and these kids have worked their butts off to make sure this happened this weekend. So that brings me...
And they had some fabulous makeup artists, too.
Of course.
I'm telling you, Chris Beck is here, and John, and I would not have recognized you at all. At all.
Well, see, I had a lot of help. I have,
you know, and
dress
I won't
creation,
take any credit.
A dress creation from Craven Moorhead.
Yes.
Hair came from Lupe, and makeup was done by Empress from San Diego.
So
those earrings are from NASA.
No, they're from San Diego, too.
NASA. I love that. NASA. Yes. But they will be on Cheyenne soon. Don't worry. But
it's all to raise money.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking about this wonderful weekend we are going into tonight, which now that it's Sunday. It is our day three of our weekend, June 10th. And we will be presenting the Monarch's Revenge. So it's all about the Monarch's past and present.
Honey, it's always about the Monarch.
No, it actually is not. But tomorrow it will be. And we will see who is going to raise the most money between the Peasants and the Monarchs.
Okay.
And it is a Night of the Orient at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas, starting at 8 o'clock. Food at 7.
Wow, food.
Of course.
Hey.
We have been...
When the Reese's puts on a spread, that's some good food.
It's a spread, honey. And believe me, all these events this weekend is raising money for Legacy Community Health Services through Rain 23 and Coronation 24.
Yes, yes. Good work done by Legacy. as you well know.
Yes, I do.
The best part about tomorrow night is the fact that we are going to be honored with so many of our past monarchs for the last several years.
Nice.
Friday night at the Peasant Night was just a small little taste of what it's going to be like. And we had representation of both emperor, empresses, or one or the other, clear back past reign 15.
Oh, my goodness.
We're looking at nearly 10 years back.
Right. And we also have monarchs in from San Antonio, New York City,
Waco,
Austin,
San Diego, California.
So, yes, they've come in droves, honey, to make sure that this is a great weekend for all of us.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, where is that again?
Tony's Corner Pocket.
And if you...
Food at 7, show at 8.
If it's laid out, as I've seen in the past, in the back of the bar, there's going to be three or four buffet tables.
There's going to be a buffet table. There's going to be a table with some... baskets that we're going to be auctioned off.
Oh, how nice.
There is a spa certificate that is good anywhere in this country for $200.
Wow.
So, and then...
And the Empress is willing to take it if anyone wants to buy it.
And then the most important part is the Loopy creation that is on
that
my
is
head
incredible.
Will actually be auctioned off tomorrow.
Oh, you're kidding!
No.
Wow.
It will be auctioned off because it's not in my color.
So, it and there's already bids being taken.
It's
so.
Huge. It's
it's fabulous. I have to admit, it is fabulous.
It looks like a confection. You know, all that swirly stuff.
I just came from the BRB. I had to leave. Somebody's going to snatch it right off my head.
I know that's right. You probably had to have an armed guard to get to the car. Between the wig and those earrings, you know,
that's what
and
it was.
That dress.
And see, I've shaved my head tonight because I played Daddy Warbucks and my partner being Annie. Yes, it was fabulous. Nobody realized that I really shaved my head because I'm going bald anyway. Moving right along, let me go ahead and take the mic. June 16th at 9 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket, we will be hosting another show called Up and Running by our board of directors.
Oh.
Trust me, honey, these kids have made us put our music up front. They're going to run it on through. There is no announcements.
Wow.
Who you are is what you seek. Your name does not matter to these kids.
I got it.
They're going to run us on through. Uh-huh. We're up and running. Sunday, June 17th, thank goodness, we have fathers. My emperor and myself.
Mm-hmm.
See, we look really crazy right now because we're just the opposite. But
I know.
My father would be
beautiful.
Very proud of me
yes,
tonight.
He would. we are very
both
honored this
them.
Year to have two. He has a king mother, king father and queen mother, and I do as well. But our king fathers will be hosting the King Father Show, Where Is Your Daddy?
Oh.
I played Daddy Warbucks. Don't let anybody forget it. On Sunday the 17th at the BRB at 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Hope to see you all there. Remember, all this is benefiting Legacy Community Health Services.
That's right. That's right. The whole year you're raising money for Legacy.
Absolutely.
Great. Great. So, I'm still flabbergasted that
you're sitting here looking at
yes.
my emperor and drag.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
And in less than 15 minutes, the Dawn dishwashing soap will just wash it all away.
That's going to be it.
I saved this just for you, Jenny, because I could have done this. I could have got rid of all this.
Did you notice how he flooded those little nails at you?
Yes.
And I did pull a Cheyenne tonight. I did not fall or break my shoe.
And pulled a Cheyenne last night while he was rehearsing and broke his shoe.
Yes, I did rehearse and broke it. So.
Is that where you go down on, you know?
Yep.
Oh,
crouch down. And
I did. Everybody was shocked. I made it all the way to the ground and back up.
He looked, Cheyenne just looked at me like, you know,
okay.
He's so surprised.
Now, I heard
that
all of you kids
move.
On this radio listening could see my face. It's blood red.
Now, I heard, though, Cheyenne, that you did it with me right behind me.
I did. But
we were like that little
we were here. Yes, exactly.
Mama showing you the way.
There of course. Of course.
I think I did her proud today.
You did. And my little partner here, John.
John looks just incredible.
Absolutely.
You had to reintroduce him to me when you walked in because I had
No idea.
He took after Cheyenne and shaved his body, and I got a little crazy this afternoon. But it's all good now. He's looking all fabulous.
Yes,
yes,
he is.
Praise, as we say in church, praise Jesus.
I know you guys had a lot of fun doing this.
It was a lot of fun tonight.
And
absolutely. It's been a great weekend so far,
night.
And I hope each and every one of you in this community will actually join us tomorrow at Tony's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The amazing thing for folks who have never met Chris Beck is that he's such a masculine presence.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I didn't say that.
And to see you with a wig and a dress is just...
It's a little different.
It's just amazing.
It's a little different.
The hair, the dress, the earrings, and then to have the tribal tattoo right there.
Yeah, there you love that.
I love that.
It's a long way from being a leather man to being a drag queen.
Absolutely.
And I take my hair off to these gentlemen who do this every single weekend to raise money. That's why I did it this weekend. And if it wasn't for a good cause, you wouldn't see me in drag.
Those things are hot, aren't they?
I'm a little warm in here, yeah. There's no fan blowing up my
spotlight.
Right,
the spotlight is great, though.
Love that part. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We appreciate
and
it.
I have this mental image I'm going to have forever.
Please, no. Give me about a week. I'll grow this facial hair back. I crushed a couple people earlier. They're like, oh, God, why? Why?
For charity. That's what it's all about. And
for
you guys.
Really matters.
And to give the guys an understanding of what us that do
That's
this on
right.
a regular basis actually go through week after week for $1 at a time.
That's right. That's right. And
it's beautiful.
Coming up in 2 weeks, you'll be out there in the heat.
Yes.
In the parade with all of that regalia on.
So we have a fabulous car and we have our matching outfits. It'll be beautiful.
Yes, it'll be wonderful.
And our court members are all dressed and ready. They are truly excited and ready.
It looks like we'll be marching in force for the first time with
Absolutely.
60 people.
Wow.
So we are so excited.
Wow, you should be. That'd be a wonderful turnout.
It'll be an evening of bling.
It's all about the bling.
And I'll be with the KPFT float.
Cool.
We just don't know who's going to go first, do we? Well, we know who's going to go first, don't we?
Yeah.
We just don't know who's going to follow in after.
Yeah. I don't know where we're KPFT is usually towards the middle, towards the end.
We'll wave at you from Hazard.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It'll be fun.
Yeah,
it'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you for being here.
Thank
we
you
look
very
forward
much.
To whoever you deserve.
You won't see. You will not see Tara Newhall again until after January.
Tara Newhall.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we not tell you that?
We forgot to tell you my name. That's it.
I'm sitting here with Tara Newhall and Amanda Steele. Yes, thank you very much. And if you don't remember from 6 years ago, my name is Keith. Thank you. But no, Tara will not be out again until after the 20th of January. So,
wow.
Yes. It's going to be fabulous.
Well, Miss Hole.
Miss Hole. May you plug it and plug it well. Okay, and with that, we're signing off now. Thank you very much for allowing us to be here.
See you next month. That was wonderful. That was right. Well, I got to play some music, you know.
Before he choked.
That's right. We'll be right back with Theater Suburbia.
A beauty mark with the less obscene, a fake big tan to the extreme. She'll make your body like bubble gum. One glance and you'll go numb. Make believe or reality, yeah. Or is it something that I see on TV?
She's artificial. Yes, she ain't real, yeah. Oh, she's artificial. But that's the we'll be right back.
looks great with that new nose job. Bow tie and a Tommy tuck. Signed up on a CWD. She's got the world falling down on her knees. Copy straight from the magazine. Imagination going out of control.
Yes, a little ditty that I really should dedicate to Miss Tara Newhall, who was just here. Josh Duffy, Houston entertainer, doing a little song called Artificial.
Yeah.
And I didn't mention the music we opened the show with, because the first one we played was a brand new song. I just got it in the mail this week from Anna Hamilton. It's called The Gay Rapper Blues. It's a coming out song. I thought that good for Pride
that
Month.
Works for Pride.
And of course, Our Standard by John Gilbert Levitt is Pride.
Pride.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of that. He talks about all the things happening.
You can always tell when it's Pride Month. That song gets played.
You bet. You bet. And so we've got Theater Suburbia coming up.
Yes.
And after them, we have the Houston Leather Boys are here.
Ooh.
And they're going to be doing a demonstration for us. So, and like I said, we'll be describing it in great graphic detail. So, get ready for that, folks.
I may need a fan. I have been single for 8 years. 9 years. Nine,
huh?
Yes, this month.
Well, okay, it's time for Theater Suburbia. Hello, folks.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Who do we have here tonight? I saw Doris sneak in there.
I'm not in this one.
Okay. Doris, you're in everyone.
We have part of the cast and part of the crew of the Parker Family Circus, our current production.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the play, please.
It's a typical dysfunctional family with a twist.
I did that without moving my lips, you noticed.
I noticed that, and an octave higher.
And an octave higher. It's
at
a neat trick. That was Danny Lewis, who was the assistant director. I'm Elvin. I don't know what I am or who I am. I directed the show. Mm-hmm. Danny and I directed the show together, I should say.
Okay.
Parker Family Circus is a dark, dark comedy. A dysfunctional Texas family. Dealing with a son who is simple-minded.
Slow, not retarded.
Okay. And he is maturing and has some wants and desires, and it causes problems.
Okay. Those hormones are starting to flow, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit.
I see.
So, that's sort of the show in a nutshell.
Okay.
Makes you laugh, makes you cry, makes you think. That's, what else do you want to
hey, know? Hey, perfect. Absolutely perfect. So, you have cast members here?
We have cast members here, and they're ready to do some scenes for you.
Okay, well, who do we have first?
Introduce yourself.
And, hello, and my name is Rhett Bell. I play the part of Don, the father.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Corey. I play the part of the completely troubled son.
Corey, welcome back.
Thank you, thank you.
My name's Laura, and I play Vesta.
And who's Vesta?
Family friend.
Okay.
And we are of an ancient goddess. We are missing Mama, mm-hmm. played by Skip Blakely.
Oh, yeah, Skip.
And Lottie, played by Helen Hearn.
Mm-hmm.
And Melina. Holly, played by Melina Twyman.
Okay.
This is past their bedtime, so they couldn't be here.
Okay. Do you have any other folks here? Do you want to...
The guys in the background?
Yeah. Who are these folks?
I'm Lisa Pavlika. I do the stage managing.
Hi.
I'm Scott Bernard, and I work on set construction.
Okay.
He's the construction guy.
Uh-huh.
Most important.
The construction guy, and you were referring to when I talked about the leather boys being here, everybody kind of looked at him.
He is in leather.
Okay.
Before I forget, Jimmy.
Yes?
The show opened last Friday.
Yes.
We run through June the 30th.
Okay.
The Sunday matinees are the 17th and the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
And the theater's phone number is 713-682-3525.
Uh-huh.
The theater's website is www.theatre.com. We play on Friday and Saturday evenings at 8:30. The two Sunday matinees are at 3 o'clock. Would love to see
which Sundays?
17th and the 24th.
Okay.
And as always, if they mention they heard it on your show,
yes.
Get 2-for-1 tickets.
That's, you know, cheap date.
Cheap date.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's cool. Okay, so let's hear a little bit.
A little bit of a scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is sort of how we open the show. So you're going to get to meet Tommy, and Danny's going to read in the part of Mama, which is normally done by Skip, but
okay,
she couldn't be here, so Danny's going to be a substitute Mama.
Are we ready?
Yep.
Stay away from me! Don't come over here!
Goodness!
Hey, stay over there! I'm over here!
Tommy!
Don't come over here!
Get in here! You heard me? Mind what I'm saying.
I see you!
Stop yelling like that. You can't just stand in the driveway yelling. People will think you're simple-minded.
I got scared you wasn't here.
I'm here. You'll be 20 years old soon, hon. Act like it.
I'm not supposed to come inside if you're not here. I've been standing out there for 2 hours.
2 hours? Did you get out of school early?
Some.
It's not polite to yell at people.
Why ain't the TV on? The TV's always on. Why ain't it on?
Broke. Tommy, it's broke. Now stop it.
What's wrong with it?
It quit.
When you gonna get it fixed?
I might not get it fixed.
Why?
Might cost too much.
Can I say that?
Yes.
Shit.
Tommy, you know I'll not stand for cussing.
Well, I've got to watch Planet Xenon.
Do something else.
What?
I don't know. Read one of your funny books.
But it's time for Planet Xenon. That's what I watch at 3. It's just trouble everywhere.
Hon, missing a cartoon show is not trouble.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm sorry if you're upset.
What's going to happen to me?
Nothing.
Oh, something bad. I'm not leaving this house ever again.
You'd get mighty bored. Why is something bad going to happen?
If Papa was here, he could fix the TV.
Your granddaddy could fix any TV made. He and your daddy and your Uncle Corey, well, they'd work all night back in the shop fixing somebody's TV or lawnmower.
Fixing everybody's stuff.
You just couldn't get them to quit and go to bed. Just sometimes in the summer, they'd quit early, and Papa and me would sit on the porch and watch those boys roll around the yard like a couple of puppies, giggling and whispering and wrestling. They just gnaw each other to pieces.
The Parker Family Circus.
That's what Papa called it.
Nothing's any good since Papa died.
That's not true. Watching you out in the driveway just now, the back of your head reminded me of Pawpaw.
It did?
Every night he'd walk up that driveway carrying his lunchbox.
Oh, I remember that lunchbox.
I always had him a good lunch.
Mama, I remember something. I remember.
What, huh?
Well, Pawpaw brought me home Bird Dog in his lunchbox.
Yes, he did. Pawpaw would be wore out, but he'd see me waving and his eyes would just perk up.
He was glad to see you.
Of course, the reality of Pawpaw walking through that door never lived up to the expectation of his walking up the driveway.
How come?
Just never did. He'd unlace those old steel-toed boots and holler, "Oh, thank you, Jesus."
Aw, you could kick butt with steel in your shoes.
Them shoes weren't for kicking butt. They were to protect the fellow's toe if a helicopter engine come crashing down. He liked to get hurt bad once or twice.
Well, he was safe when he got here in this house, like Ramona the Revenger. No one can touch her when she's inside her rocket ship.
Pawpaw would lean back in his chair and give a big sigh and say, "Mama, I sure am glad to be home."
And you'd say?
"I'm glad to have you home."
And now it's me. You're glad to see me.
I sure am.
And I'm safe when I get here, just like Papa.
You're always welcome here.
Mama, I ain't never going back to that school. The kids, the teachers, they call me names. Think I'm dumb.
Kids can be mean.
Mama, I'm coming to live with you.
Your mama would miss you.
Nuh-uh.
And your daddy.
No, daddy's just a mean son of a bitch.
Tommy, hush.
Papa said daddy was the meanest man he ever knew.
He ought not have.
Daddy turned Uncle Corey over the law because he was so mean.
What are you talking about?
Daddy turned his own brother over to the sheriff for stealing.
Now that's a terribly wrong-headed idea, hon. You can't just make up things like that.
Papa told me. Daddy told the law that Uncle Corey was a damn thief. He told him where to find him and to put him in the cuffs.
Now listen here, hon. Uncle Corey turned himself in. Your daddy didn't have a thing to do.
Nuh-uh.
Don't contradict me.
Papa said to keep it a secret. Now I swore a blood oath not to tell. And I never did. Not while he was alive.
Tommy, now, your grandfather liked to spin tales.
Well, everything Papa said was true. Papa was the only one I could talk to. I could tell him anything. He didn't think I was simple-minded. And Papa wouldn't like what you're doing to his couch.
Well, I didn't like him burning cigarette holes in all my furniture, neither.
Papa wouldn't let the TV get broke.
Leaving it on day and night? No wonder it just quit. This morning, I could hear the birds singing. That was a change.
Papa wouldn't yell at me.
And your granddaddy is gone. Nah, 6 months.
What's gonna happen to me?
Now, hon, I know life is painful sometimes, but that's when we have to put our faith in the good Lord and be brave. And I'm here for you and your mother and your daddy.
Well, Mama's gonna turn me into the law.
Why? Did you do something bad?
You want me to rub your shoulders?
No, thank you.
Why not?
My arthritis doesn't hurt a bit today, thank the Lord.
Oh, I got to find a girlfriend.
Well, you will.
Well, I need a girlfriend bad.
Be patient. Where's your sister?
Polly don't care about nothing but getting to be governor of Texas. Or president of the world, like she has a chance.
Your sister tries for a lot.
Oh, Polly's always running around with Vesta. They're like glued together.
That's how young girls do.
Vesta and Polly are lesbians.
Now, son, that's just too much. I'm going to throw my shoe at you.
They're always sitting on top of each other.
When's your mama coming in?
Mama's telling everyone in Plano, Texas what to do. Selling houses, driving around the streets searching for men.
Tommy, stop acting up.
Selling our house for a lot of money? Mama, you just got to help me. If you don't, I'm just going to blow up.
What in kingdom come happened today?
Everything in my life happened.
Yes, but exactly what?
My L-I-F-E.
What in your L-I-F-E?
Oh, where I go to school, where I live, my brain, my body, it's all happening wrong.
I'll do anything I can to help you, hon.
And that's where we're going to stop.
Thank you.
You have to stop and leave something for the
yes.
people to come see.
Well, I want to hear more. I want to see more.
Well, you will. You will. We've got some more scenes to go. We've got some more scenes. The next scene is between Vesta and Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And Vesta is Tommy's younger sister's best friend.
Okay.
Page 31.
Wow, he's good.
Who?
You.
Got
you.
The page numbers and everything.
Yeah. He has them all.
Oh.
That would be you too.
Hey, don't look at me. I'm ready.
Should we start at the top?
Virgil Rivera.
You told Virgil Rivera you're selling your comic books.
No, I need some money. I'm moving in here with Mama, and I have to get the TV fixed.
Remember the day we read them together? You and I and your granddad?
So?
Your grandfather gave them to you in writing and all.
I think so.
Wow. You possess an extensive and rare collection of comic books.
I know.
I liked it where the snake woman saves the world by sucking the venom from the foot of this monster.
Yeah, that was Papa's favorite. Ramona the Revenger. She disguises herself as snakes. She covers herself with poisonous snakes so no one will see her. Papa bought it in 1940.
Whoa, ancient times. That's practically Stone Age comics.
Or before.
Which one is your favorite?
I said, Ramona the Revenger.
Chill, you said that was your pawpaw's.
She's my favorite too.
Okay.
Oh, she has tits the size of watermelons, and they shoot fire. And she incinerates the evil forces with her snake tongue.
I'd like to read that one. Want to?
No.
Okay. So, how much are you asking for the collection?
I haven't said.
Because you haven't decided, or you don't know?
I'm not saying I don't know.
Could we read one now?
No.
Well, could I look at them?
No, leave me alone.
And that's where we're going to stop that scene.
Oh, okay.
And I won't tell you whether Ramona the Revenger makes an appearance or not. You'll just have to come see and figure that one out.
I want to see these flaming breasts.
The size of watermelon.
Yes.
Okay.
No, the gay man doesn't stay off.
Yes. That's right.
And we've got one more scene here. And this is between Don, who is Tommy's dad, mm-hmm. and Tommy. A little heart-to-heart going on here.
Okay.
47.
I'm there. Shh. Okay. Can you fix Papa's TV?
Not right now, Tommy. I need to talk to you. Son, what's going on with you?
This morning, I saw this man that looked a lot like Papa. But it wasn't him.
No.
Well, that was the same. Papa had a black hat he wore a lot. Where's that hat?
I don't know.
And he wore baseball caps sometimes, too. Well, one was the Cowboys, because they used to win a lot of games.
Yeah, they used to.
Well, I don't care about that team now.
No?
It was only fun because Papa and me watched the games together. And we'd read the funny books.
I know.
But nobody reads them anymore with me like he did.
Well, we used to read together.
But you always wanted me to say the right words. And I couldn't do that a lot. Papa didn't care. He just did it so we could be together. What's gonna happen to me?
You got into some trouble today?
Well, I remembered today. Papa brought me home Bird Dog in his lunchbox. And Bird Dog died right after Papa died.
The Bird Dog was real old.
But he didn't die because he was old. Why he died was because Bird Dog got to looking for Papa and couldn't find him. And he just got so sad.
Yeah, we're all sad, Tommy, but we just can't start doing crazy things.
I'm selling my funny books. Vesta's gonna sell them for me.
I can't let you do that, Tommy.
Why?
Well, some of them are mine, and some are Uncle Corey's, and Papa gave them to you, but he didn't give them to you to sell. He gave them to you to protect, so you could hand them down.
Well, hand them down to who?
To your kids.
Well, I don't think they'll let me have kids when I'm in jail.
Oh, you're not going to jail.
What's going to happen to me?
Well, right now, I think you're fixing to come with me.
No, I'm staying here and I'm selling my funny books.
Those funny books are special.
Not so much. You can watch them on TV. Or some people watch them on computers and such. Well, they don't even show them at the movies anymore. Well, unless it's for little bitty kids.
They're worth a lot of money.
I need money. I'm coming to live with Mama. Well, I'm not going back to that school. They're just letting me graduate on account of Mother.
Who told you that?
The coach. He called me an idiot. Papa told me the next time that man calls you an idiot, draw back and knock his block off.
Papa didn't mean that. He was just kidding.
Nuh-uh. Papa would never kid me. I hit him real hard. My hand hurts. It's getting all swollen up. You can't make me go back to school.
Let me see it. It's okay. Well, what would you do if you didn't go back to school?
Work.
At what?
With you.
They don't have any jobs where I work.
Well, I could just hang around with you.
You'd get in the way.
Well, I'd work in Papa's shop. Put a sign outside saying Tommy's shop.
And then?
Well, fix things. I could learn how to fix television sets like you and Papa did.
Televisions were made a lot different back then.
Well, I just fix old television sets.
I don't think there's any of those left. They're in museums.
Well, I'll just take care of Mama so she don't die. When y'all move, she won't have no one. She's real old, and she's like me. Nobody wants her.
Now, that's not right.
I'd protect her.
Sounds to me like she might need protection from you.
Why?
Your mother says you don't know where to find the pisser.
Well, I know where it is.
Your mother works hard at that school.
All the kids at school hate her. They call her the head shrinker.
Your mother's frustrated. Do you know what frustrated means?
No. I don't know what anything means. I'm dumb.
Tommy.
I am. Not like Polly. She can do anything. I'm 4 years older than she is, and she's a junior and I'm a senior. What's going to happen to me? They'll send me to jail, just like Uncle Corey.
Uncle Corey? Now, Polly, she's more likely to end up like him.
She don't do nothing wrong.
Neither did Corey. Daddy always said Corey could pull a TV apart and put it back together in the same time it took me to scratch my butt. You and me, we're more methodical.
I don't know what that means.
We go at things a little slower, but we get them done. You know, I had my trouble when I was your age.
No, Dad. You never did like to have trouble like me. Yeah, it's okay, Daddy. You're just trying to make me feel better.
Yes, I guess I am.
Well, I thought you were thinking Mama was scared of me because I asked her to have sex with me.
What?
Well, maybe Mama and me could have a baby, and the baby could get the funny books when I die.
I ought to beat the crap out of you, boy.
And that's where we're stopping that one.
Oh, my goodness.
Well.
Yeah, there's the twist, huh?
It's just a normal family. Yeah, just,
If they're from Arkansas.
If they're the Adams family from Arkansas.
Well, I don't know if they're from Arkansas. We didn't say that the play is by Jan Buttram, who is actually a Texas playwright.
Oh, cool.
So she should know something about Texas families.
I guess she would.
A little on the scary side.
Got to watch those old towns, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's fun. So tell me about the show again. It's running through the 30th?
It runs through June the 30th. Fridays and Saturday evenings at 8:30 on June the 17th and the 24th, mm-hmm. We have a Sunday matinee at 3 o'clock.
Cool.
Theater's number again is 713-682-3525. Theater's website is www.theatresuburbia.com.
Yeah, T-H-E-R-T-R-E.
R-E.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, they mention they hear it on your show.
Ah, two for
Doris,
one.
Doris at the box office gets them in for two for one.
Ah, good old Doris.
don't call her good.
Just call her for supper.
That's right.
No, he's calling me old.
Ooh.
Oh. Well, I thought that... Well, never mind. Yeah.
Remember, she's blocking the door.
I think we have an epilogue to the play here going on.
Somebody might not make it out that front door tonight. Vertical.
Well, thank you for being here, and that sounds like a great play. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Thank you for having us, Jimmy.
You
we
bet.
Always appreciate it.
And good luck with it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good night.
And a little more music, and we'll be back with the Houston Leather Boys. You're listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. Well, that was not cool. For some reason, it was skipping. Is there another cut?
What? Four is Black Bear, isn't it? Try that one.
Okay. Because I want to play this music. It's track four, isn't it?
Yeah, Black Bear.
Skipping on this one too.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, this is not gonna work tonight. This is not gonna work. Damn.
And track 10.
Okay, track 10.
Yeah.
We're gonna get you some music, folks.
He's cute.
Just hold on.
Oh, that's right there. You gotta see the pictures in here.
Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Track 10.
We'll be right back.
Well, Robert Tichy, who was here a few weeks ago, promised that he was going to bring some manly music, and he did.
Oh, yeah, Robert. There's more to it. Good evening, Jim. How are you?
Wonderful. How you doing? Please excuse me for giving out the wrong name of the group.
Yes, it's the Houston Leather Boys are with us tonight.
Ah, okay.
The Lone Star Boys of Leather, they disbanded about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So...
it's, no monkey hugs for you.
Yeah. That was Boy Kirby, the chair boy of the Houston Leather Boys.
Well, you see, the leather line has been headed up by a woman the last couple of years, so there's been a different aspect to it.
Not a problem. Not a problem at all. We have a woman here tonight.
Yes,
we have Boy Cindy here.
Yes.
Yeah, so this evening with us tonight, we have the Houston Leather Boys, mm-hmm. the chair boy, well, chair monkey, as he is commonly called, monkey boy, Boy Kirby, Boy Joe is here also, and Boy Cindy is here.
Okay.
And Sir Lloyd is sitting in the background, gotcha. Just kind of watching and laughing right now.
I'm familiar with Boy Joe from Gulf Coast Archive and Museum.
Uh-huh. Gulf Coast Archives Museum. He's yes. also a member of the Houston Nomads.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the music you just played,
yes.
that was Praga Khan,
mm-hmm.
Skin to Skin.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a very cool song.
I like
Praga Khan. They're from Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. A lot of people also know them as Lords of Acid in America.
Oh.
Lords of Acid, he put a female front singer on there, but... in Europe, in Belgium, he goes by Praga Khan and sings all his own stuff.
Wow. Did not know that.
Yeah. And since it's Gay Pride Month, I brought a bunch of openly gay artists from C.B. Melton to Praga Khan to all these other people.
Good.
P. Tourette. I can't say her first name.
You can say Pussy Tourette.
Okay, Pussy Tourette. You know. So, and...
that's her name. That's,
wait,
name.
That is,
that's not a part of her body.
Yeah. Well, obviously not. If it is, she should stop billing herself as a drag queen.
Yes.
That's the number 5 word, right?
drag queen's not on the list. We're allowed to say drag queen. Although the SEC might still find us just for saying drag queen. I don't know.
We do have a little leeway at this hour.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Then let's just go down the list and read it.
Well,
I
don't think we have that.
George Carlin would be so proud.
Yes, yes, he would.
Yes, he would. I love George Carlin. So we are here tonight talking with the Houston Leather Boys. And let's start with Kirby. I want to ask a question. What does it mean? I'm going to ask it of all of you. 2 minutes.
Before we start, I need to jump in here and let people know that they are listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on good old
KPFT 90.1.
KPFT
Planet
Houston 90.1. Yes, 89.5 in Galveston. We just got that in under the wire.
Yeah.
He's only been doing this for 19 and a half.
Yeah, you know. why should I know what I'm doing? Actually, Chris Harrison has been doing all the engineering
yeah.
for the last couple of years, so I'm, you know.
You're having to sit there, and you're going to push the wrong button, you're going to mute yourself, and we're going to have a good old time.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to happen. It's going to
So, now can we talk about
please,
the boys?
Please, I want to hear all about
it. Well, the
them.
One question I want to ask about, I mean, a lot of people here, you know, daddy, boy, slave, master.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is a boy? What does it mean to you? What is a leather boy? Kirby.
First of all, it's respect for yourself and everyone else around you. And by showing that respect in your life, you're not only... I don't know, I'm a little nervous, so I'm kind of like not coming up with the right words, but for me, it's just all
Kirby,
about...
Kirby, it's a microphone. There's only one person at the other end of it.
Yeah.
Think of it that way. Don't think of the 20,000 people who were listening.
Thank you, because I was about to say, it's just us sitting in a room. Don't,
yeah,
don't mind
right.
the 20 or 30,000 people
yeah.
that happen to be listening
yeah.
at the same time.
When you look at that microphone,
is just, my nose shining?
Yeah.
Just think of that one person, because...
stick it in the microphone.
Because we really just talk to one person at a time.
Okay,
there.
Okay. But, yeah, for me, being a boy is... it's a great honor, first of all, to have been chosen by probably the best master on the planet. I'm biased, of course.
Well, yeah, of course you're biased, yeah.
But it's a never-ending learning process, actually. You know, you learn about yourself, more and more every day. You learn what you can and cannot do.
And the things that you cannot do, I mean, what? You just say, I can't do it, and you work on it?
No, I do them anyway.
Then he gets in trouble, okay.
Yeah, right.
Oh, who said that, Joe?
Yes.
Good. Okay, Joe, your turn.
Well,
how would you define what it means to you to be a leather boy and what a boy is?
First of all, what he said, but...
Copycat.
Yeah, right. To me, a boy is a servant. And every respect to that word, a servant is somebody who is not trying to get into trouble, but trying to make his master look good.
How do you do that? How would you do that in a public setting?
First of all, you follow all of the protocols that Sir has set up.
Okay.
And you basically show honor and respect.
Okay.
And that's,
now,
that's
a hard thing to do. Let's talk about protocols for a minute. What a lot of people don't know, and a lot of people do know, but for those who don't know, talk to me about public leather protocols. What are they? What are protocols? Why do we have them?
Okay. First of all, before I talk about protocols, I want to talk about attitudes. Because a protocol is a way to communicate stuff, either verbally or non-verbally. If you don't have anything to communicate, the protocol means nothing.
Well, not only that, but protocols are also protection.
That is a way of...
Yeah, it's a way of protecting yourself and protecting the house that you serve. I mean, there's a lot of predators out there who, they see a collar on a boy and they think, aha, ooh, free play. No. That's where the protocol is.
Okay, we'll get back to that in a second.
Yeah.
Now, one quickie. Let's get Sin. I call her Sin. Boy Sin.
Because we all do.
Okay. She's part of the terrible
Because
twos.
A woman can be a boy.
Yes. A female's B-O-I. Mm-hmm. Males are B-O-Y.
Okay.
In the UK, most of Europe, a B-O-I, it's more of a skinhead punk way of spelling it. But
yeah.
When it comes to leather protocol, B-O-I usually is female, B-O-Y is a male.
Oh, okay.
By the way, boy has nothing to do with age.
No. I know leather boys older than you. I know leather boys younger than you. I know daddy's older than you, and sir's older than you, and doms that are younger. So it has nothing to do with age.
Age
it has
or
to do
gender.
With your lifestyle and where your head is at and how you're living your life.
Okay.
But Cindy... Sin.
Well, yes. How are you?
Good evening. How are you, dear?
Doing wonderful.
Oh, I like what you did with the HOB tag. That's cool.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, so to you, being a female sub in this community, in the leather community, what does it mean to you to be a boy or a sub?
Well, one of the things that it means to me, it really has nothing to do with whether you are in a relationship with a top or a master or a daddy. Boy is just who you are. I consider myself a boy because I am definitely more of a take that step back and kind of watch what things are going on. I'm one that'll step in and give somebody a helping hand when they need it. I like to be of assistance, and that came out. Oh my gosh! Let's see, 25 years ago this year. It's when I first stepped into the BDSM community.
So, when it comes to being a leather sub, y'all three pretty much agree that it's more about the servitude,
yeah,
and enjoying serving somebody else.
Yeah,
definitely. Whether it's the person that you are collared to or in a relationship with, whether it is your family, whether it is your community,
or each other,
definitely. Yeah. We are our own best support. As boys, and it's nothing to do with gender, nothing to do with age. My relationship is with my daddy is 7 years younger than I am, and it's sir, and it is daddy, and it is a great deal of respect. I have a huge amount of respect for the responsibility he has in trying to keep me out of trouble, and I respect him by trying to keep my trouble.
He's got a tough job.
Yeah, so does my sir.
Yeah, your sir definitely does, Kirby. Kirby, yeah, definitely. Well, Joe, going back to what you were talking about with the public protocols, and before I cut you off and ask Cindy to join the conversation, you were going to say?
Well, we could go all night on that. Everybody, there's some basic protocols, and then there are individual protocols that certain couples have, sirs and boys.
Well, you have public protocols, and then you have private family protocols, which can differ. But, like, give me some examples of public protocols that are expected to be observed in public in a leather event. Let's say what they call high leather. When you go to a real leather function, you are supposed to behave, act, stand, opposed to private family protocols, which could be more relaxed or more stringent.
I guess I'm going to have to correct you again. I'm sorry. But the protocols involve two people.
Definitely. But I'm saying from the boys' aspect, what protocols would you follow if you were out in public at a leather event?
You're communicating something with protocols. I guess the most basic protocol involves the collar. When someone is collared, that means that he or she is the property of somebody else. Basically, don't touch,
right,
kind of thing. Without permission from
that person's dom, right, the owner of the collar. Now, touching on that for a second, because I see a lot of this all the time in the leather community, and people who aren't familiar with leather protocol, I see it constantly, people come and go, oh, what a pretty necklace. And for those of you who don't know, a collar basically is a chain with a lock on it. That lock means that sub is in a relationship, has a sir, has a dom, that they answer to. It's not a pretty necklace. It also does not mean
mine's pretty, but it's not a necklace.
Well, yeah. Think of it more like a wedding ring. It's don't touch. And if you see somebody wearing a collar, you don't touch them. You don't speak to them without their getting their sir's permission first.
I don't really like the wedding ring analogy. I like more of a...
It's a commitment.
A commitment
symbol of commitment.
Yeah.
Well, that's what a wedding ring is. It's a symbol of a commitment.
Way it's an analogy, but I agree with Kirby, don't take it too far because it is a different thing.
It's definitely different, but for people who aren't familiar with leather, that's the best way to explain it. It would be like that. You wouldn't go up to a couple and they're wearing wedding rings and just paw all over that man's wife. Why would you do that to a boy? Well, okay.
Well,
you might.
That's you. I mean,
that's what we're talking about.
Okay,
let me ask a question here, because you're talking about the chain with the lock.
Uh-huh.
And how does that differ from the leather collar?
It doesn't really. It's still symbolic.
It's the same thing?
Yeah,
it's the
basic
same
symbolism.
Okay.
Yeah. It means the same thing.
Okay. Does the leather collar have to have a lock on it?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
That, again, comes down to what a private family protocol and how they choose to represent that collar. It's like Boy Sandy tonight is wearing a leather collar.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby is wearing a chain collar.
Right. But they both symbolize the same thing.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's a preference.
Okay.
And there's also different... We have several play collars. They don't lock. They don't have locks on them.
Mm-hmm.
Those are strictly for entertainment purposes only.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we have the opportunity to play with someone, and, you know, that's something that we use. This particular collar, my sir made for me. For me to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else touches it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, mine doesn't come off unless I shower.
Right. Which I hope you do.
Well.
Well, I think you would have figured it out by now sitting in this room that if you started Stein Camp.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always a little warm in the
studio. I am
studios.
On this end of the table, so I can't quite.
Yeah, and luckily Jimmy's in the other room through the glass. But a collar, I also see a lot of people going up to collared boys and thinking that they can order that boy around. And how do you respond to that? Because that's not the case. But when you get some guy, you and your sir go out for the evening, you go to the Ripcord, you go wherever you're going to go, and you get these other people walking up to you, oh, well, you're a collar boy, you have to do what I say. Or they think you're some kind of
they
sex pig because you're wearing a collar. Well, not just
don't
you, but any boy.
Kirby. No.
Any boy. I mean, I've
my
seen
first, my first question to them is, does your key fit this lock? And their usual response is, no. Then, okay.
Then if you,
my sir is standing right over there. If you have an issue with me, if you would like me to do something for you, please go speak to him first. And that usually intimidates them, and they go away most of the time.
Okay. And the other misconception that people who are wearing collars that, okay, they're a sub, so they're sex pigs.
Yeah.
You get a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
They think that because you're wearing a collar that you're some kind of sex pig.
We have a rule in our house, always defer to sir. If I have a problem I can't get myself out of, I go to him. And I don't think anybody on this planet wants to piss Master Buzz off.
No.
Ooh, I used one of those words, sorry.
Number three.
You can say pissed off.
Okay.
Yes.
You cannot say pissed on.
Yeah, like Jimmy.
Why say it? Why not do it?
Let's not go there.
That's a whole nother topic.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, that's one of the, like, you were talking earlier about family protocols. That's one of our family protocols. That's one of our daily protocols. If there's something that I am uncomfortable with, a situation that I'm uncomfortable with and don't quite know how to deal with it, then I bring it to sir's attention and he takes care of the problem. That happens, I'm not going to say really often, but less often than it used to.
Okay. Now, about the collar, I mean, the symbolism of it, we understand that that means you are committed.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the collar come from? Why is the collar chosen? What's the history behind that? Why a collar? Why not a nose ring or an earring or a wedding ring or, you know?
Well, my understanding, and I learned this from reading some stuff that Master Buzz had written about the history of the collar, that in the ancient days of Rome, that's how slaves, Roman slaves, were signified by a collar. Usually it was like a metal band around their neck. But that's where the history of the collar started and where it went from there. I don't really know. I'm not the person you need to ask that.
Robert, do you want to take some calls if people want to call in? And,
oh, yeah, sure. If they have a question, yeah.
Or a comment?
Well, I was sitting here and watching these little lights blinking and like, what?
Okay, because we had somebody who called in and I put them off. So the number is 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. If that caller would like to call back, we can accommodate you.
That's why the Houston Leather Boys are here, talking about what it means to be a sub in the leather world, and I'm at field questions.
Okay, great.
Family dynamics. There are also a lot of leather families that have more than one sub or more than one dom.
Mm-hmm.
Comments, explanations.
Oh wow, that's a
family dynamic. How does that work?
Sometimes very well. Sometimes it's a train wreck, and you just hope you can stay out of the way. I think it can work in a family dynamic. I mean, a lot of the organizations here in Houston are more family than club. So you've got some situations where it is a family, that you've got two or three, four tops. You've got the same number, maybe more bottoms running around. Sometimes it's really hard to turn around and find out, you know, which voice you're supposed to jump to.
Yeah.
It can be a very healthy thing to have a peer, to have another bottom in your family that you can go to. You can't really go to most of your friends that you know outside of the community and say, well, you know, I got home too late last night, forgot to call before I left, and when I got home, boy, was I in trouble, and I can barely sit down today. That's not going to fly.
Yeah, you start getting pamphlets started getting pamphlets for, you know, abusive relationships.
Or the, huh?
Yeah. Right.
So being able to share that kind of thing with family, with other boys, is a sanity saver.
Now, let's also, when we're talking about a family where you have multiple doms and multiple subs, and sometimes it's a misconception, sometimes it isn't, but a lot of people think just because there's more than one dom and more than one sub in that committed relationship, that, oh, everybody's just having sex, it's one big old orgy. And it's like, okay, you've been watching way too many porno movies.
Yes,
but,
definitely.
But, I mean, with your experience, because I know you're in, you have, in your family dynamic, you have more than one dom and more than one sub. What is that situation like? I mean, you have one specific dom that you answer to, but the others can also give you guidance and direction?
Yeah, it's kind of like a hierarchy.
Or is it, you know, a free-for-all orgy?
No, it's kind of like a hierarchy, basically.
That's what leather is a hierarchy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's a hierarchical structure.
It's very militaristic, if you stand back and look at it. It's, you know, very militaristic.
Well, a lot of the leather protocols, like, I think, are based on that.
Yeah,
so.
It's like... the masters are pretty much the generals, and you know how many stars they give you, it depends on their ranking.
How many wars they've lived through.
Right. But yeah, like with my personal family dynamic, I have one master, and he has another boy that he's mentoring, which would be Joe. And I look at Joe as like a brother, you know.
Okay, well, taking it back then, you have a collar, Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby, you're wearing a collar.
Right.
Well, if Joe is your ward, why aren't you wearing a collar? What is going on? Explain that. Let's talk about that.
let me explain a little history. I was collared to a sir,
Daddy Cassian,
back in 2002 or 3. He died from cancer, and therefore I became, well, there was an uncollaring ceremony, and I became single. Since then, Master Buzz has given me his protection as his ward until I don't become single anymore and find somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the time being, I'm in his house. I'm under his protection. And I follow his protocols as much as I can.
Because that's what I was going to ask. Would you, being just, with you, I can't say just being a ward, but with you being a ward, which is an incredible thing, do you have to follow the same protocols and that Kirby has to follow? Do you have to follow the same kind of schedule, call in?
No, not the same.
His isn't as rigorous or strict as mine.
Yeah.
Okay. His is a little more...
relaxed.
Yeah, a little more relaxed. But... Yeah, I mean, when we're all out in public together, yeah, the same protocols apply.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Joe just talked about he was in the house for protection. Protection from what? I don't understand that.
Boy Joe?
Well, I guess you have to be a boy for a while to understand that.
Predators.
Yeah, you have
one.
To understand that there's a lot of predators out there. They hear that you're a boy or a sub, and they think that you're, you know, an automatic plaything, and that's not the way it works in true leather life.
Yeah.
And that's what he meant by protection. Master Buzz protects him from all the predators out there who would take advantage of him.
Oh, gee, this is Blue Moon Night, I think, too.
Yeah.
So
you want to elaborate on that more, Joe?
Yeah, please.
Well,
what do you get out of his protection? What do you get out of that, and what safety and peace of mind do you get from that? I'm sorry, I keep hitting you back.
That's okay. Kind of like
likes it.
Damn, and I forgot my flogger. Run out to the car.
Oh, okay. God. Well, it's a protection from many things. It's hard to explain, and I'm having a hard time here. But the boy is usually in a position where we're submissive and we don't, you know, we can't snap back as much as we want to because it's defer to sir, like Kirby said.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, sir is providing that protection.
So not only just physical protection from predators, you're also talking about mental health and
health and well-being,
feeling safe,
basically that kind of thing. Sir provides basically a mental thing where I don't have to worry about some things that I otherwise would have to worry about as a single person.
You know, have somebody to go to and talk to.
Yeah,
it's like really cheap therapy.
Well, I want to hear more about the predator thing, because I'm still not understanding that. Is, as a single boy, does that mean that anybody can come up and say, hey, do this, do that?
No. Being the best example I can give is I haven't seen him in a while, but there was a sub that liked to go to the ripcord, and he would wear a collar, but to him, I don't think he really understood the meaning of it, because he did not have a sir. Mm-hmm. But he did it to show people, and a lot of people will wear a collar out with the lock open, signifying that they are looking for a sir.
Okay.
But you get sexual predators that see that and say, okay, well, he is submissive by nature, so I can order him and force him to do whatever I want.
Yeah, and there's a lot of men out there who think that just because they read one drummer magazine on what it means to be a master, that automatically qualifies them to be one.
You got to read at least five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah, and I don't mean just looking at the picture.
Right.
But, yeah, there's a lot of that, but it can also be something as basic as a single boy could be out in the bar, and a dom can come up to say, go buy me a drink. Well, no. But I've seen this one sub, and I've stepped in a couple of times because somebody was abusing him.
Okay.
And I stepped in and I said, look, do you own the collar around his neck? And the guy was like, no, but he's a boy. And I said, he's not yours, get your hands off him. And I really did. I played the game. You don't know who I am. I can have you thrown out of this bar in about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And the look on that boy's face is like, thank you for saving me.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people out there that will take advantage of that. Number one, that dom is not educated enough. But number two, that boy is not educated enough.
Yeah.
So there needs to be a lot of education when it comes to that.
Yeah. I've even had bartenders protect me.
Yeah. And that's one thing that if you are a sub, whether you're collared or not, if you're out at a bar or in a public venue, know that you can go to the people, go to the bartenders, go to a bar back and say, hey, I'm having a problem. This guy is bothering me. And the bartenders will take care of it for you. They do look out for their clientele, and they do look out for it.
Okay.
Especially if they're in leather. They know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I got it.
But that's pretty much what it's about. I mean, and it can be something as basic as go buy me a drink to I'm taking you home and I'm going to use you. And it's
And it's not just the bar situations. I mean, once you've been in a committed relationship, you're used to the rules, the boundaries, the limitations that are set. It can be a very scary thing to not have those anymore. So to have someone who's willing, a top who's willing, that you trust, that you've developed a relationship with, who's willing to say, okay, you're not mine long term, you're under my protection, so to help you get through, I'm going to set some boundaries and limitations for you, which means, you know, if you've got to be at work at the next morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to set your bedtime at 10 o'clock. I don't have to think about it anymore. That's something I can just cross off my list. I don't have to stress about. I know that at 10 o'clock I'm going to be in bed. And it sounds rather simplistic, but if because of our nature of
a sub,
of being a sub, we, you know, it's not something that you wake up one morning and say, you know, my life's not complicated enough. I think I'm going to really screw things up and become a submissive. You know, it's something that is. It's inherent. It's you know, just like having blue eyes. It's not
you
something
either are
you change.
Or you aren't.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, in some cases.
So then. Well, yeah, because some people change, don't they?
Well, I don't think in my case it was so much of changing. It was just admitting. But with Boy Joe, I mean, so this is to kind of conclude that is what Buzz is giving you. He's giving you that kind of direction and guidance and
protection.
Rules.
Protection. Yeah.
Yeah.
To help you until you can find
something
a certain aware.
That came to my mind. Most submissives have a characteristic or an attitude that we don't make decisions very easily. And we, like Cindy says, we stress about a lot of stuff. If somebody comes in and says, you're going to do this.
Good echo effect.
Yeah, wow. Wasn't that cool?
Where's the spring?
Okay.
But
it's in the microphone.
Thank you for that, Merlin.
Thank you, yes. That really helps a lot because it decreases the stress on you. And, boy, have I got a bunch of stress at job. Yeah.
So... you're a member of the Houston Leather Boys. You've got this family of other boys. You're a ward with Master Buzz right now until you can find a sir. When you find a sir, how do you go about getting collared? How do you go about accepting that collar? I mean, you hear about contracts and contract negotiations and things, and what is that? What does that mean?
That means when you're talking about the relationship with the collar, and I said that I didn't like the wedding band analogy.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I think, and of course I might be biased a little bit because I've never been in a wedding relationship, but I think that a collared master-slave relationship is more serious than a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
I mean, most, 60% of weddings end in divorce anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't see that as much with that, but...
You want to go through a lot of stuff before you commit to something like that. That's the negotiation. You want to go through everything. And I call it brutal honesty. And basically, you have to open your heart up and say, this is what I am. And you have to be honest with yourself. Otherwise, things aren't going to work. And this can take a long time to do, and it usually winds up in being written down in something we call a contract, which is just an agreement saying, here's what we've agreed to, here's what we've negotiated. And then submitting to this master's collar.
Mm-hmm. How long does a contract last?
Depends. It's negotiated.
Right. So, like, you could have a trial contract for maybe 60 or 90 days with the option to renew if things are going well and you can...
Right.
Sure.
That
because I do
happens,
know some people...
Yeah.
I do know a couple of leather families here that they're, after years together... their slaves have signed lifetime contracts. But
yeah.
I also know most people, just like with any lease, it's renewable every year, 5 years. I mean, do you...
Yeah, we are property,
yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah, they're just leasing, yeah. Yeah. No, but if you are signing a contract, I mean, is that part of the negotiation process and saying, well, this is how long this contract will be good for, and at this time... do we have options for renewal when you go?
Oh,
or
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything in a contract is negotiable. Everything. From what type of clothing you wear to what time you go to bed to...
the food you eat.
Well, not necessarily, because I'm kind of a pig and I eat pretty much anything I want. But, you know...
But, yeah, peanut
but
butter and shrimp, yeah.
Could
oh,
be.
Great.
Oh, yeah, death on a plate. Thank you. But, well, for example, he was talking about, you know, negotiations can last a while. Sir and I negotiated for almost a year before the collar ever went on, and we still negotiate.
It's a continuous process.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
Because people are constantly changing, and you have to renegotiate, and like I say,
take
be brutally
that,
honest,
take
come
that
out,
into account.
So mm-hmm. This isn't working, what can we do, kind of thing.
How hard is it for a sub to bring that up?
Not difficult at all. If you have an honest relationship with your master, mm-hmm. or your dom, if you have an honest relationship and everything is out on the table from the get go, it's not difficult at all.
If it is difficult, then there's many, many more things that need to be negotiated.
You got a problem there. Yeah.
But again, I think that's also like Kirby said. He and his sir negotiated for over a year, and yes, they were seen together in public as a couple, but during that entire time they were negotiating their contract and getting to know each other better.
Sure.
Lots of conversations, lots of negotiation, lots of, you know, heart to heart, head to head.
Wow.
It's kind of akin to a dating ritual, basically. When you date somebody, you get to know them on,
sure.
you know, like little dates here and there. Contract negotiation is basically sort of like that.
Okay, Joe, you need to find a fence with that, like you did with the wedding ring analogy.
I was trying to put it in terms where, you know, people who aren't in the life would
understand. I know, yeah. I was trying to do, and Joe's like,
Well, you're a dom, what do you know?
Yeah, I know.
Ooh.
Okay, cut
off. I'm hiding under the table. Yeah.
Cut off Kirby's microphone, he's walking home, yeah. You know, no. Your sir's listening, you're going to get it for that one.
I know. Hi, sir.
He's probably counting now.
Yeah, he's probably counting now. You better tell him to stop.
Actually, if he were counting, he'd be on the phone counting.
Yeah, right. Now the phone's going to ring. And it's just going to be buzz going, 1, 2, 3. Oops.
You know,
sorry, to explain the counting thing, buzz counts, and that's how many licks Kirby gets when he messes up.
Oh.
You know, yeah, and bringing up the wedding analogy, and it seems to me, you keep talking about contracts and the like, and I think if people paid that much attention to their wedding situation
in vanilla relationships,
there wouldn't be a 50-60% divorce rate.
I think that's true. Yeah.
I do too.
Most of the leather relationships that I've seen where people have parted under much more peaceable terms than most divorces.
It's very rare when you see that kind of nasty kind of breakup in a leather relationship, because everything is laid on the table. They're like Kirby and Joe, even Cindy, you got to be brutally honest and say, this is what I need to make this relationship work. This is what I need from you, and this is what I can offer you.
Yeah. You have to actually admit things that you're not willing to admit to yourself under normal circumstances when you're negotiating a contract.
Yeah, like I'm a putz.
That was Boy Joe, by the way.
You are? Uh-oh, text message.
Uh-oh.
And Kirby just got a text message. We know
I guess the negotiation goes on because the longer you're in the relationship, both parties change, have different interests, want to try different things.
Well, I think it's also the fact that the longer you're in a relationship, the more you get to know each other, the more you're both growing, and the more the relationship grows. So yes, it needs to be constantly looked at and renegotiated to make things better and to keep that growth and that love going.
And this whole conversation really can help the vanilla relationships too, because it did help mine. Years ago, when
we hear anything but vanilla.
Well, I discovered that also, but that's different.
That was part of that. That was part of a different kind of negotiation.
Maybe berries and cream, but.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jay.
But negotiate. You know, I never thought about negotiation in my relationship with my lover. I've been with him for 28 years, and 29 in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Congrats. Hey.
And,
God, has it been a year already?
Wow. We were having some problems with the vacation thing, and, you know, we were talking about negotiation in the leather community, and so I thought, well, this could probably work for me, and it did. It was fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the big problem that the gay community in general has is the gay community, everything is really based on sex.
Yeah.
And in the leather world, you'll find that's not what it's really. The sex is icing on the cake, but that's not what a leather relationship is.
Well, let me tell you, after 29 years, there's, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're gay or straight, there's not much sex going on.
Well, but again, it goes in ways. Sometimes you both are just like, yeah, let's get it on, let's make puppies. And then another time you're saying, and then another time it's like, get away from me. You know?
Yeah.
Don't even breathe in the same room I'm in. You know, it goes both ways with relationship. Well, I mean, you have the ups and downs with that.
Yeah. I think a lot more honesty would also help. Yeah. I mean, if people would be more honest with their partners, you know, it's like, I don't like this, I do like that, however, but we need to work something out on
sure.
this. I think a lot more honesty and a lot more respect, I mean, a big tub load of respect would go a long way.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Without a doubt. I mean, how often do you hear, you know, these derogatory remarks about, you know, my husband and, you know, he never thinks about what I want and, you know, my wife and she's always concerned about what the neighbors think and not what I think. All that gets set aside. And it is truly about how are we going to make this work. And
well, perfect example. My brother who lives in Bellingham, Washington, when he was going through his marriage problems, he was always calling me and telling me she never listens. I never get what I want from her. I said, well, have you ever told her?
Yeah, have you ever sat down and talked to her and said, this is what I need to be happy?
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She doesn't respect me. I said, have you given her any reason to?
He took away her flogger.
But, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of honesty and a lot more respect with even non-leather people would go a long way.
You bet.
Their relationships would be healthier. They would be happier.
Yes.
You know, just, it helps everybody, really. I mean, it helps you in your working life and in, you know, your private life.
Right. But, I mean, it's also being honest about the relationship and your emotional needs. And that goes for physical needs, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the one thing about the leather community that really nobody else thinks about is, yeah, we play a lot more seriously when it comes to sex. We have a lot more fetishes and things that we like to do than most people. But that is stuff that is negotiated. Those are scenes, play sessions, that both parties are saying, yes, this is what I like, this is what I want, this is what I need. Mm-hmm. Whereas I find a lot of vanilla gay couples or a lot of vanilla straight couples, they're sitting there saying, well, you know, you always hear about these women who, oh, they do anal. Fine. Great. Well, what if she doesn't like it, but she's just doing it to appease her husband? He has the right to know she doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she does like that and prefers that, but she's too afraid to tell him, and that's going to cause a problem in the future.
Yep.
Or he likes to be spanked. There's no way he's going to tell her that.
Right.
You know?
I've actually had people come up to me.
A lot of secrets.
And ask me.
Too many secrets.
How can you two be so happy with each other? Honesty.
I've been out with Buzz, Kirby, Boy Joe, and some of the other Houston Leather Boys, some of the other Doms. We've been out just one night, just going out, having a good time. We're go to the Ripcord, sit down, relax, have a couple of beers, whatever. People will come up to us and say, God, you people are too happy. Are you really leather?
You can't be leather.
Y'all can't be leather. You're laughing.
Yeah. You're laughing and having a good time. You're not leather.
Blue lights are blinking.
Don't touch it, Kirby.
I'm not touching anything.
But, I mean, just because we're leather doesn't mean that we're all serious monster, cruel people.
Yeah.
We're human beings. We love to laugh and have a good time.
Well, we can be monstrous at times, but that's different.
Yeah.
That's also negotiated.
Right, exactly.
Well, that also goes down to the respect thing. So, sometimes you're seeing people who aren't leather, and they might either intentionally or unintentionally disrespect you. And sometimes they'll get the reaction that you would expect if you would be disrespected, and they said, oh God, they're so mean.
Mm.
Well, what do you expect?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's hard to explain. If you took the time to learn and educate yourself.
Yeah. It's like, don't walk into the lion's den poking the lions with sticks, because you're going to get bitten.
Right.
You know, that's the best analogy I can come up with. It's like, you don't go into a leather situation and start laughing at, oh my God, look, he's wearing rope, or oh my God, he's got nipple rings. You know, don't do that. That's disrespectful.
Oh my God, he killed Kenny. Okay, don't slap the table, Joe. Now, one night, Boy Joe was...
He likes that spring sound.
Yeah, right. Well, now one night we were, I think it was during Spang Fest,
which is coming up.
I'm resurrected.
Yeah. Boy Joe was getting flogged out during Spang Fest, and he was tethered between two trees. Well, one of the tethers came loose, and he was already flying on endorphins from the flogging. Well, he kind of let his body relax a little bit, and one tether came undone.
I think it had something to do with
around.
The raw bullhide.
The raw bullhide whip. So he goes swinging around on one arm, slams into a tree, and gets knocked out.
Oh, my God.
And at right about the time this happens, there were some people who came over from another... from a cologne bar.
An observer was running through the bar going,
a cologne bar.
Oh my God,
they
killed him. Oh my God.
Yeah, and this poor kid just started screaming, oh my God, they killed him. And he goes running up to Gary, Big Gary at the bar. And they killed some guy out there. And of course, now the whole bar is freaking out. And by the time they even got back there, Joe was wide awake and everything was fine. He opens his eyes and he just goes, Joe, are you okay? And boy, Joe just goes, thank you, sir. May I have another?
We have a caller.
Sure.
If you'll press the top button. Yes.
Not us. Don't touch any buttons, Kurt.
I'm not touching anything.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Good. Cindy, do you know who this is?
Cindy isn't wearing...
Hold on, put your headphones on.
That's put on headphones to hear you.
Oh, yeah. When she breaks, she just takes everything off.
Oh, my heavens. Who is this?
This is Christian.
Oh, hello, dear. How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good. I'm just enjoying the segments that are coming up.
As
a gay male.
So, did you have a question or anything? Or you're just... gunning for a free drink next time you come in.
I'll take both for $1,000, Alex.
I'm sorry, that was not in the form of a question.
You're just right. I've been part of a polygamous relationship, and I wanted to know, is there a boundary between, you know, master-slave in those type of relationships? You know, we were talking about no uncertain terms. Is there a boundary between having a third party in there? Is that considered contractual? Would that be a part of the agreement?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You wouldn't... Okay, maybe you would dream of it. it is something... If the relationship that's already established is of any importance... to the top, and most of the time it's the top who's definitely wanting to bring somebody else in. If that first relationship is important, there definitely is going to be a lot of talking and a lot of negotiating before somebody else is brought in. I mean, that's I've seen relationships absolutely destroyed because it was not fully negotiated. It was more like, here, surprise, guess what I brought home? And
well,
it's
again, can I keep him? Can I keep him?
Exactly.
Can I keep? Well, again,
he's
it's
paper
also.
Trained.
Wait, is that wrong? Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Want to avoid that.
Yeah. Well, now, in the negotiation process, do you have the right to reject the potential?
So I mean, just, you say, giving that option in the future.
You sit there and say, well, he just brings somebody home and says, here, we're keeping this one. It's like, and you have no say in the matter.
Not necessarily reject. You can put your opinion in, and your opinion...
Well,
if your master is of a true nature, then he will take your opinion into consideration before making his final decision.
Would he allow the other sub and you to get together, talk, learn about each other?
Well, I hope so.
In my situation, most definitely. And again, it would be something, you know, if it were, you know, I really want to bring this other person in. I've been talking to them. They seem like they would be a good fit. And this is something we would definitely be open to. What we would do is we'd probably start out with, you know, something very short term. All right, well, let's try, a weekend. How do we get along for a weekend? Let's negotiate with this third person. You know, a weekend of testing this kind of relationship out. It's can be very intimidating. I at one point was the third person who came into an existing relationship, and it can be very intimidating for that third person as well. So knowing that the primary two, the alpha sub and the top, have already a very established, very committed. And very trusting relationship, it can make it a really great experience, at least on, you know, on the short term. You know, try it out, see what happens. You know, it's by starting out with a nice short term kind of agreement,
There's a definite end date. There's no hurt feelings if after that end date somebody says, okay, it's not for me. It's an ongoing negotiation.
Would that be something you would, in your initial contract, initial negotiations, when you first get together with that sir, would that be something that would be in there, a clause in there saying, if we decide to bring in a third? Do people think about that when they're actually negotiating an original contract between just a dom and a sub?
Not always.
That usually
no,
people
right.
might think about it sometimes. It's not in the idea, but it could be brought in later. Again, it's a continuing negotiated process.
Right.
Well, just revisiting, you know, that contract every single time something new comes up is often the challenge. And if I can share, just that's kind of the reason, you know, why I ask these questions is because that was my past. Now I don't live, in that lifestyle any
right.
longer because it just didn't work out because there were no one, you know, there were just all these questions up in the air about what ifs and how I would fit into that. And there were no uncertain terms that I thought in my head I was going into it being, okay, level-headed. I'm going to go into this knowing what's going to happen. But at the end of it, there were three different people with three different emotions, some more for each other than it was originally, and then, you know, some for the wrong reason.
Well, it sounds communication just wasn't where it needed to be. It's got to be an ongoing, open, honest communication. If that is gone, if that slips, if it is, left untended, then the relationship, no matter how many people are in it, is in serious trouble. Whether it's, negotiating for, more playtime or more nights off where, I've got, in my agreement with my sir, I've got 4 poker chips every year. And those poker chips represent a 24-hour period of time that I don't have...
me time.
Yeah, it's strictly me time. I don't have to answer to him for 24 hours. It doesn't mean that I don't no longer belong to him. It just means that for 24 hours, if I want to go find somebody that I can top for a night, as long as I'm safe about it, then he's, perfectly okay. It's a don't ask, don't tell 24-hour period.
Mm-hmm.
That's
nice.
Heck yeah.
And that's what they negotiated in there.
Right.
Yeah.
But see, every contract is different because every couple dynamic is different. So, and that's a neat thing. That's a very cool thing to have.
Yeah. So, is this something we can sit over a cup of coffee and talk more about later, too, huh, love?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right,
not only a cup of coffee. All right, well, thank you guys so much. Enjoy the rest of your night together, and I will love listening to the rest of the segment.
Well, thank you, Christian.
Thanks,
that's a
Christian.
Great question. Thank you for calling.
You're very welcome. Have a good night.
Great question.
That was a very good question.
I'm glad you called in. Go on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Kirby needs to go to the bathroom.
Okay. How about if we take a break?
Okay. Throw in some cool music.
We're very close to it. I want to talk for about 30 seconds, though.
Okay. 30 seconds. Okay, I'm timing you now.
Yes. Well,
got it. Tick-tock.
Well, how long has the Houston Leather Boys been in existence?
Houston Leather Boys were formed.
Years.
They were formed in December 2 years ago. They went public in March.
Mm-hmm.
They just had their Terrible Twos anniversary party.
Yes.
You can see the pictures at www.houstonleatherboys.net.
Ooh.
Lots of...
I promoted that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
You bet.
And for people who didn't show up, you better show up to the next birthday party because it was just absolutely crazy and fun. We had a blast. The boys really know how to throw a party.
They threw icing, too.
Yeah. The Rip was still kind of a little mad about the icing.
Yeah.
Cake fight on the back.
Whoa.
I'm not allowed to go within 50 feet of the ripcord with food.
Yeah.
Of any kind.
It took me 3 days to get the icing out of my glasses and out of my ears.
Oh, my God.
I had frosting in places that I can't even mention on the radio.
I've got to go to that website. I can see that. Okay, let's take a little break here. We've got some more music from...
Oh, play C.B. Milton, We Are the Ones. That's a good one. Like I said, all the music I brought tonight, they're openly gay artists, and they're really incredible, incredible guys.
We're doing him now.
Cool.
Can be so demanding. Things keep changing.
That's just not right. You shouldn't have said that. It's a good thing that song was going on while Kirby said what he just said.
Robert, why don't you tell us a little bit about the music that we just heard?
The first song was C.B. Milton. He's a singer from Belgium. He's just got an incredible gravelly kind of bluesy voice. He's openly gay. His lover is from Spain. But the big hit that he had here way back when, it's a loving thing, that was really the first song about AIDS.
Oh.
And I don't know if I brought that CD tonight or not.
No.
Okay. And but he's always been just very, his music is very positive, it's very fun, it's poppy, it's good, it's danceable. And the second song we heard was Psychosonic. That's the name of the group, with a P, Psychosonic. And it was Don't Stop Now Till the Cure Is Found. And that's just an incredible song to me because it says so much.
Yeah.
Because it's what we've been fighting for since 1980.
And it has a nice beat, too.
Yeah, it's got a really good beat, yeah. So those were the two songs we just heard, which, again, C.B. Milton, We Are the Ones.
That's actually, awesome. It says Latour.
Oh, I'm sorry, Latour, you're right. I'm sorry, that was Latour. That's right. I'm thinking Psychosonic Crazy-Ass Cowboy. Never mind. That's another good song. I should have brought that tonight. But no, Latour, their first song, everybody knows their first song.
Latour's The Cure Is Found.
Latour, The Cure Is Found, off their first album. It was, what is that, Sex? Everybody's Having Sex? Everybody's Having Sex. You remember that song?
Oh, yeah.
That was off their first album. Then their second album, okay, wait, everybody had it, now they got it, now we need to cure it. Okay, guys. Good,
so to speak.
Good follow-up song, you know?
Okay.
And during the little break, Kirby told me what the text message from his sir was. Uh-oh. The text message he got was, that was one.
Oh.
LOL. Working on one.
Working on one.
See.
So okay. That means working on one, but like when you get home, right? Okay, Buzz, don't call. That was just a joke.
Okay. Yeah, Daddy Bear said it, not me.
Yeah, I said it. So tell me about the Houston Leather Boys and what y'all do and what you're doing. What does the group do? What are you? The Houston Leather Boys.
A bunch of degenerate freaks. No, I'm kidding.
Now that'd be another club.
We're basically a support group for other subs in the community. People who, if you're not sure where you draw your line, I always ask people to come check us out. If we're not for you, then great. You know, it wouldn't be a good fit anyway.
So it's basically for people who are attracted to leather, want to learn.
Yeah.
They're not sure if they're a sub or...
Yeah, and maybe they might be afraid to, like, sit in an NLA meeting or something. I don't know, but, you know...
Yeah, we're an intimidating bunch at NLA.
Yeah. Right. But we're basically a support...
You'll get it later, Joe, don't worry.
We're basically a support group for, you know, other boys, subs in the community. We also do a lot of things in the community.
If support, education.
Yeah, support,
kind of
education.
A brotherhood kind of thing.
We do a thing called Babble every third Sunday of the month, and it's pretty much an educational thing. It's
right, Babble.
Yeah.
That's boys
and boys,
B-O-Y's and B-O-I's,
yeah.
Boys and boys blending life experiences.
Yeah. And
when is that?
It's on the third Sunday of every month, usually around 2 o'clock-ish. Right now...
That's so gay-ish.
Okay. Right now, our venue is at the back patio of the 611. I have been looking for alternative venues because there are some people who just really aren't real comfortable sitting in a bar. You know,
but it is also a public place so that people can sit in and they don't have to like feel like they're singled out.
Yeah, well, so. That's not what we do. We don't single anyone out. We don't leave anyone out. If you're interested, if you have questions, check out our website.
HoustonLeatherBoys.net.
Yeah, HoustonLeatherBoys.net.
.com.net.
Yeah. There's a direct link that goes to my email, so if anybody has questions, don't ask me what I'm wearing, because I'm not answering those. But
you're wearing a Touch My Monkey t-shirt. That's what you're wearing.
questions about who we are, what we do, those are pretty much answered on the website. But for other things, you know, people who, it's like, hey, you know, I'm really interested in this, but I'm not really sure what process to go about. Can you help me? Can you... like send me some information and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I can send all kinds of information.
Well, I've also noticed on the Houston Leather Boys website, you also have like a reading list of different books.
Absolutely, absolutely, and
that can really help with leather education, mm-hmm. leather history, and then there's also some really good fiction there too.
Yeah.
And I think we just put a glossary of terms on there, too, didn't we? I think so.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the website in a couple of days. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. You know, I've been busy with other things. But, yeah.
And the Babel calendar is on there telling everybody what Babel's about and who's... Now, Babel, you always have presenters. Is it just like
a boy
rap session?
It's... started out to be just basically a rap session, you know, just where we sit around and we discuss... you know, difficulties, problems, how do you deal with this, how do you deal with that, because it's nice to get someone else's perspective, especially if they're in the same position in life as you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's always nice to get other people's perspectives. It keeps us more well-rounded and keeps the education juices flowing, so to say.
Mm-hmm. Makes the relationship better.
But every once in a while, I do like to, you know, mix things up and have a presenter. Mm-hmm.
I've been a presenter.
Yeah, and... it was fabulous. I learned a great deal.
I scared a couple of people off with the presentation I did for Babel was on a fetish safety play, playing fetish games safely, handballing, water sports, things like that, wax, needle play, and how to play safely. I mean, the boys, I've been to a few of the Babel meetings, and they talk about everything from family protocol versus public protocol to leather care to... fetish play.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is talking, it's education, it's not demos, it's not a play party, but every time I've gone, I've lived in this lifestyle for 18 years, and I learn something every time I go to a Babel meeting. Goes, oh wow, I had never thought about it from that way.
That's what it's about, to give you that edge, that, you know, it's like, hey, I never thought of that. That's
it's an interesting take. It's
yeah.
get somebody else's perspective.
Yeah. And I like to get other people's perspectives, and I might even learn something if I shut up every now and again, but...
but that takes a ball gag with you, come on.
And it's important that this is not...
you have fun with it.
These are not meetings for people just who are in relationships. These are open, and people who are not in relationships are more than welcome to be.
Yeah, but I also think Babel, the one good thing that I like about Babel and that the boys are doing Babel is the fact that it is a more relaxed atmosphere, because I know Houston Leather Boys, you have your monthly meetings, but those are general mm-hmm. membership meetings. You're discussing club business and things. Babel is a way for people who are attracted to lifestyle, not sure if they fit, where they fit. They can show up to Babel and learn about leather, learn about, you know, educate themselves, ask questions. It's a place to go to ask questions and learn.
Yeah.
And there's no such thing as a stupid question.
It's far less intimidating with a group of boys than it is with a group of boys and doms.
Well, now, the Babel meetings themselves, the format, y'all have changed the format from what it used to be. The Babel meeting itself is, when you're having if you have a presenter, it's open to doms and subs.
Yes, yes.
And then after the presentation, the boys kick all the doms out, basically,
yeah.
is what you do.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say that.
I would.
Yeah, I would, because Uh-oh. They say, okay, thank you for the presentation, doms.
Time's up, get out.
The boys are having their boy time now. But I think it's good, because that also gives people who are doms
mm-hmm.
some place to go to learn about what a sub is supposed to be.
Well, it's educational
for
everyone.
Like I said, for me, being in this community for 18 years, I still, when I go to a Babel meeting, I never thought about it that way. Or like when the presentation was done on leather history and all that, it's like, well, there's some stuff there I didn't know. That was really interesting to learn.
Yeah, yeah. But we do like, I do like to have the presentations every now and then, but mostly it's just for us to sit around and discuss problems within ourselves. It's like if say for example, if Cindy is having a problem dealing with a certain issue, you know, it's nice to get ideas on how to, you know, how I would go about solving that issue, or how Joe would go about solving that issue, or how anybody else would go about solving that issue. It's always nice to have another person's perspective, because sometimes when you're up against a wall,
you're too close to it.
Yeah, when you're too close to it, you can't really see the way out. You know,
yeah.
And it's nice to have another perspective, but it's also a chance for people who aren't sure what their lot in life is to find out, to come and ask questions. And we're honest. We're going to tell you like it is. You know, we're not going to sugarcoat anything.
Sometimes people don't like that, but
honesty is the best policy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You can be tactful without sugarcoating. I mean, saccharine sweetness is really great, but be tactful, be polite about it, but be blunt. Here are the facts. Here's how it works, and you don't have to sugarcoat it. We don't live in a sugarcoated world.
Well,
this is the leather
perfect
world.
Perfect example of this. I had someone ask me after the last Babel presentation that you did,
uh-huh.
Okay, I want to do this, but do I have to do all this stuff too?
No,
you don't.
No. Everybody has their own fetishes, their own kinks that they enjoy. And that goes back to, I think, Jimmy, the last time I was on the radio, we talked about hard limits versus, you know, what people are into. And there's certain things like, I'm not into water sports, but I'm into handballing.
Mm-hmm.
I love needle play, but I'm not into wax or things like that.
Sure.
And that comes down to play. That's fetish. That's your preference and what you get off on and what you enjoy. And just because you're leather doesn't mean you have to like everything. You
right.
have to like all those scenes.
Right. Well, the person who asked me that, he was like, well, you know, I've experimented with this and I've experimented with that, but do I really have to know how to do all this stuff to
no.
be a leather boy? I said, absolutely not.
No.
That's entirely up to you. If it's a limit for you, then when you negotiate that as a limit.
And say, this is a limit. This is something that I do not do. I'm not interested in.
I have a limit of blood. I see blood, I stop.
Blood sports. A lot
yeah.
of people,
mm-hmm.
a limit is blood sports. So, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but that's what Babel is all about, is to come and, you know, learn a new take
but
on things.
But the fact that somebody thinks that because you're leather, you have to be into all these scenes.
Yeah.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, that was a good question that he asked.
Yeah,
that was very good.
That's where the education of the Babel comes in, is because after he walked away from a Babel meeting, he was like, you know, I feel a lot better about this because I don't have to do these things that I'm not comfortable with.
No.
Of course not. You don't have to do anything that you're not comfortable with, whether you're leather or whether you're not leather.
That's the whole point of brutal honesty.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not that way.
That's the brutal part in the relationship, is the honesty,
but
not the games we play.
But it's also the respect.
Well, the games we play can be brutal, but I mean, those are negotiated and everybody enjoys
it. Well, that's a good brutal. That's what, you know, that's a
brutal.
Willing brutal, yes.
That's a brutal that everybody involved in is enjoying. And
mm-hmm.
The brutal honesty is the part you don't always
But it
always
also comes back to the respect issue.
Exactly.
You know, you respect yourself, you respect your limits, and your partner, if has any integrity at all, would also respect those limits.
Well, I don't think you would ever sign a contract if you didn't think they had that integrity. But
well, I wouldn't, but...
But somebody who's new and
yeah.
has not lived a lifestyle, does not have a support network of other boys to rely on.
Exactly.
They can really get themselves in trouble, and that's
right.
what the boys are about.
That's exactly what we're about.
So, like, this coming Babel this month, what is the topic?
It's kind of up in the air right now because the person who was supposed to do it was a presentation on leather care.
Hands-on presentation.
Yeah, she had to decline because of a family emergency. So I'm scrambling around looking for other ideas or topics or something.
We'll just have your babble and
yeah.
have it a boy rap session.
That's what I'm thinking of doing. Is just, you know.
And when is that again?
I don't know.
Third Sunday?
The third Sunday. It's the third Sunday of every month. I don't know what the exact day is. I think it's the
19th?
The third Sunday?
Yeah.
10th.
But, you know, just, it's the third Sunday.
Yeah.
Whatever
Sunday.
The date is,
that
it's
works
the
for
third
me.
Sunday.
Third
that
Sunday.
Works for me.
I think it's the 24th.
Third Sunday, 2 o'clock at 6:11.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That
would be the day after the Pride Parade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the 4th.
It's a week before the Pride.
Okay. A week before Pride.
Okay. Yeah, that's
now,
right.
Pride weekend.
Woo-hoo.
What are the Houston Leather Boys doing for Pride weekend?
We are
weekend?
Bartending at the back patio of the Ripcord.
Oh, in the doghouse?
Yeah,
the beer shack?
Yeah.
From when to when?
From 10, 10 to...
10 to 1:30
1:30.
So.
Okay. 10 p.m.
Yeah, 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Please.
So, you mean there's an a.m.?
Hey.
Yeah.
So the boys will be bartending before the parade ever even starts.
Right. Yeah, come have a few beers with us before the parade, and go to the parade, and come back and have a few more, and you probably won't remember the parade at all, but you'll have fun.
The boys, y'all bartend, what, the fourth Saturday of
the
every month?
The fourth Saturday of every month, yes.
Okay.
So that's another good way to find the boys. Go out to the Ripcord on the fourth Saturday of the month if you're... are your inclination, you would sub, you're not really sure the boys are there to talk to. But, I mean, whenever I see the boys out, y'all are always wearing your colors.
Usually.
You're always, and for those who don't understand what colors are, it's usually you're wearing a leather vest and it has your club insignia on the back of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and our patches are really cool,
yeah,
too.
Patches too. Yeah, patches, too. You're welcome. Sorry, I'm a graphic artist. I designed it.
We bow before the art god.
Yeah, the art god, yeah. And Cindy.
Yes. Yes, Daddy Bear.
Talk to me.
Oh, what would you like to talk about? You know, I just had an idea for Babel, though.
Yeah?
With the number of newer people that are coming into the meetings, it might be a good idea to have a discussion on developing personal protocols. For a lot of people, like you were saying, they come in and they're so overwhelmed with all of the different things out there and all the different aspects leather can be, that sometimes it's very good to get back to the basics and develop your own personal protocol before you start trying to match that up with somebody else's protocols.
Excellent idea. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Cindy is also the nominee for vice chair of Houston Leather Boys. So
yeah, the poor boys are going to be stuck with a girl.
A boy, B-O-I.
With a B-O-I. Okay, a G-R-R-R-R-R-R-L. Because I know
I've
you...
I've got
when
an
you
get, innie instead of an Audi.
Yeah, well, when you go... yeah, I've seen you, yeah, when you get going, you do go... I think you should be... B-O-I cub, you know, because you really do growl, woman, when you get going. So, now, Babel, you mentioned something about Cindy helping with Babel, taking it over, heading up the committee for that?
Well, the way it was initially designed, it was the vice chair that we had before and I were heading it up, and with his other commitments, he was unable to do it. And with all the other things that I have going on, it's like it's a little much for me to handle by myself. So, you know, I was going to talk to Cindy about helping me out with it, you know, every once in a while.
Well, good.
You've heard it. I've heard it first right here, folks.
Yeah, so you're asking, you're on the air.
I was going to talk to you about it first, but he blew it.
So, congratulations,
thank you,
Cindy.
You
sucker.
Yeah.
I mean, if Master Darryl doesn't have a problem with it, you know, of course.
Well, of course. I don't believe... I will definitely talk to him about it, but I don't think he's going to have a problem. He's very supportive of anything that's going to get my butt back downtown and into the community. So.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about this, you know, in private, but thank you, Daddy Bear.
It's private.
It is private. It's just Daddy
Bear. It's between us and
it's not the whole country listening. It's just Houston. You only got, you know, a couple of 100,000 people listening.
Oy, mein Gott.
Good Morgan, yeah.
Yes, I guess it would be Morgan, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So that Babel is when?
The third Sunday.
Third Sunday.
Third
every month.
Sunday. Okay, mm-hmm. That would be the 17th of this month.
Yeah, and the calendar.
23rd,
I think. 23rd, yeah.
24th, or
something
like that.
But the calendar for Babel is on the Houston Leather Boys website as well.
Okay.
So.
And what time?
2:00-ish.
Ah. Okay.
Yes, I like the ish.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, 2:00-ish at 6:11.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe you're right about the 17th.
I think it's 17th.
Yeah,
right.
Because
yeah.
there are five Saturdays in June this year.
Yeah. So I think it's
one of the criteria of boys is always be prepared. None of us have calendars.
Okay, so what they're saying is...
I have the calendar here.
Not tomorrow slash today, next Sunday.
Next coming Sunday. That's right.
This yeah, if you show up tomorrow for Babel, you're probably not going to find anybody.
Yeah, but you know, 6-11 does have dollar vodka nights days. So
yeah, there you
they
go.
Have so, you know, you can always just stay and have a couple of vodkas.
Yeah. He's right, it's the 17th.
Aha, uh-huh, good Jimmy.
And the patio at the 611 is kind of nice, even for non-bar people.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole different atmosphere on the patio than what's
it's
going
quiet.
On. In the, in,
it's
yeah.
quiet.
It's actually
yeah. They don't
very
have
quiet.
The speakers outside, mm-hmm. so there's no music blaring. They
right.
have ceiling fans to keep the air moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, blow the mosquitoes away.
Yeah.
And the cigarette smoke, if you happen to not be a smoker.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That works.
So
what kind of education What different kinds of education things have you done in the past?
We've done presentations on everything from proper protocols to...
Leather history.
Leather history.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was really good. We've done presentations. Sir Robert Helms, the president of NLA Houston, did a presentation on contract negotiation, which was quite informative.
Yeah.
And Daddy Bear Robert has also done, like he said, the presentation on
fetish play.
Fetish play safety.
How to play safely.
Yes. Yes.
Because with all the misinformation out there, it's like, just because you see it in a porno movie doesn't mean it happens that way in real life.
You know? Yes, folks, remember, porno movies are fantasy.
Yes, and they're also with people, and I don't want to sound rude, but they are professionals. This is what they do for their living.
Yes.
And they also do this all day. They do this all day, every day, so they can get into a headspace a lot faster than you can, you know? So,
and the money doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, but, I mean, the whole point about the fetish play itself is to expand your horizon and enjoy getting there, taking the time to enjoy getting there.
Yeah.
And that's the point of Babel, is to expand your knowledge of your world. Because, believe it or not, there are things that the four of us at this table might not know. I doubt it seriously, but...
Nah, right.
Right.
And on the other hand, there's at least one person of the After Hours crew that probably could use your help.
Cool, send him our way.
You met him on the back patio.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I did?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay, then, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, then definitely. Babel it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a relief, again, just to be around people
who understand
like minds.
Sure, yeah.
Not
yeah.
feeling alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a being a person of leather around... surrounded by the vanilla world can be very lonely sometimes.
And intimidating.
Yes. So just being able to
just
express all those things.
Yeah, but also keep in mind the way we dress, we scare most of them more than they scare us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just, the, you know, side entertainment, so.
Yeah. Now, one other thing, I noticed the Houston Leather Boys, y'all also do a lot of demos, like, with NLA, as far as, like, and when I say demos, I mean flogging demonstrations,
yeah.
bondage,
violet wand,
ultraviolet wands, which is electricity, it's electroplay.
We've done all that here on the air.
Yeah. But the Houston Leather Boys are also the Houston Leather Boys also, when it comes to that, they there's you can talk about it and explain it and say here are the do's and don'ts, but
you have to
it's
see
also
it.
A matter of
yeah.
actually
yeah.
seeing it.
Yeah.
And the Houston Leather Boys have been really good at working with National Leather Association Houston, NLA Houston, because I'm a member. I'm on the board of NLA. That the boys are really good whenever we need their help with anything. Hey boys, we want to do this demo. We need some help.
Well,
the boys are always there to help the community.
We've also done things. We've also done things for WIPS, Women in Power Society.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
Elizabeth and Eva are great people.
Yeah, we love Elizabeth and Eva. But
oh yeah, they're always there contributing to the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Generally,
ladies.
I'm the target though. So.
Yeah, yeah, but Joe, you like it that way.
Yeah, you born with a big old bullseye on your back.
That's only a result of the cupping.
Right.
Ooh.
But no, you're absolutely right. We do avail ourselves of our services if there's a demonstration that someone wants to demonstrate the proper technique on how to do something. Then we are available for that. Those of us who are collared get permission first, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
For example, during NLA Spring Iniquity, I was beaten with beyond an inch of my life and electrocuted right after that, and I was like having a really good time.
We've all of us sitting at the table have had the great fortune to have people in our lives in the past to help get us to where we are now, to educate us, to answer all those questions that we have. And it is our responsibility to pass that along to other people. You know, I would just shudder to think where I would be at if I hadn't had people,
mentors,
people that I could go to and say, am I crazy? Because, you know, I really liked this. And
but the rest of the world, the rest of society, the Christian society says I'm not supposed to like
right,
it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And for me to be able to share that with someone else and say, no, you're not, you haven't lost your mind. It's still there. It's still functioning. It just functions a little differently than a lot of other people. And
well, that's another good thing that you brought up about mentoring people. I mean, coming into this lifestyle, it's scary enough, but to find somebody that you can call a mentor and somebody you find safe to
right.
talk to.
Right.
Well, I've been on both sides of the coin. I've been on the side where I didn't have anybody to help me through those brutal times, and now I do. And I tell you what, having a support system of my Nomads family, my Houston Leather Boys family, and my sir, and all the other doms in the community who look after me, it's like heaven on earth for me, basically.
Actually, that goes back to a question you asked earlier mm-hmm. about the protection.
Yeah.
This is part of the protection right. there.
Right.
The mentoring.
You being a ward of somebody else is the mentoring.
Yeah. Well, my sir has a philosophy.
What about
that
other boys mentoring each other?
That happens all the time. That happens all the time.
So, like, if somebody wants to join Houston Leather Boys, are they assigned like a big brother? Or do they just kind of gravitate towards somebody and you become like a big brother mentor kind of thing? Or?
Well, lately I've been kind of like the big brother mentor, but turning out to where there are quite a few people who are interested in joining Houston Leather Boys, but I'm always asking them, okay,
why?
come sit. Yeah, we're a bunch of freaks. Why? You know?
I think the biggest question people need to ask themselves is, why are you attracted to leather?
Yeah.
And are you attracted to just the look of it, the smell of it, the play, the sex play? Or are you attracted to the actual lifestyle of it?
Well, my first question to new prospective members is, okay, are you looking for the play part of the leather, or are you looking for the lifestyle of the leather?
Right.
They need to decide that first before they go any further.
Right.
If you're looking for the play aspect, then
some other boys
I can introduce you to the people at HPEP or Eros or some other group that's what they're specifically designed for. If you're interested in actually living the life as a leather boy, then yeah, come join us. You know,
check it out.
Yeah.
Well, I've kind of, and Cindy, Joe, we've been in this lifestyle a real long time. We both kind of understand that when you get into the lifestyle, you just naturally gravitate towards certain people, and they just inadvertently become your mentor, whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
So, and I've been on both sides of that too, because when I came into this lifestyle way back before, that I
when dinosaurs walked the earth.
No, that was Buzz. And yes, and yes, I said that Buzz, not Kirby.
Start counting for him.
All in trouble, man.
And
I gotta go home.
When I first, not my problem. But when I came into this community, I naturally gravitated towards two or three people. And two of them were doms and one of them was a sub. And I learned so much from them. And then when I moved to Houston, I naturally gravitated towards certain people because they were of like mind and like spirit. And I came into this community being old guard, if that's what you want to call it. I think it's a total misnomer, but this old guard, new guard, modern guard thing. But and I've also noticed now that a lot of people gravitate towards me as a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's yeah, but I still have my mentors I rely on. I still have my mentors that I will go to and talk to and question, cry on the shoulder, scream, holler, yell, whatever. But once you're a mentor, you're there for life. You become a member of my family, whether you're family or not. You're in my heart.
Well, sir has expressed the philosophy to me from the very beginning that we're here to educate. We're here to teach. So if anybody has questions, it's part of my job as being a representative of him and his house is to help them to the best of my ability to understand who and what they are.
And if I haven't got the answers, I'm going to help you find
I will find someone
where
who does. Exactly. And I think it's a good thing. I wish I'd had this when I first came into the life. I wish I'd had an organization like this that I could come to.
Right.
And it's sort of my personal goal to make this to where somebody can come to if they have questions or reservations about the leather lifestyle. I'd like them to feel comfortable enough to come to one of us and say, I need some help. Can you help me out here?
Right.
Good. So, in closing, Boy Joe, you have anything to say? Any comments, statements?
I think we've worn ourselves out.
Yeah, but you also double-dosed on happy pills, so you're probably feeling no pain. He accidentally took too many muscle relaxers this afternoon.
Those weren't muscle relaxers.
Ooh, oh, I see. That's why Boy Joe spends a ton. For those of you who don't know, Boy Joe is usually a very quiet person.
Yes, he is. I've been surprised my own
very
self.
Very talkative tonight.
Yeah, those were prescriptions.
Yes, they are prescriptions.
Yeah, but who's? No, I'm kidding.
Cindy, anything you would like to say in closing, Cindy?
Oh, just once again, Babel, third Sunday of every month. Right now, back patio of 611. If you want to come see what we're about, come meet some of the boys, get some questions answered, come on out. We would just love to meet you.
Two-ish in the afternoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two-ish.
Yeah.
No, make it two. This is leather.
Yeah. Thank you.
We also have our general membership meetings every second Thursday of the month. We meet at the Ripcord.
Ripcord is your home bar.
Yeah, our home bar. Speaking of which, we're also rehanging our colors.
Ooh.
On the 15th. Isn't it the 15th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this coming Friday.
Yeah, this coming Friday at 8 p.m. We actually got an actual patch instead of a piece of paper to actually put in our shadow box so that we can have real decent looking colors.
Ooh, yes. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Better put that on my calendar.
I want to thank the Houston Leather Boys for sitting here for 2 hours talking and having a good time and explaining some stuff.
Well,
almost 2 hours, yeah.
I think it's three.
Thanks for having us. This has been a lot of fun.
I'm glad y'all came. I really am glad y'all came. I think we had a good time. We got some information out there.
I was a little scared at first.
And thank you again, Christian, for your phone call. That was wonderful.
Yeah, that was.
Thanks, very Christian. Good question. A couple of things I want to say.
Sure.
Daddy of Montrose contest is coming up June 17th.
That's
5
Father's
o'clock at Mary's.
Day. Mm-hmm.
Father's Day, June 17th. New Daddy of Montrose be at Mary's, 5 o'clock. Robert Kong will be stepping down as our Daddy of Montrose.
I'm going to miss
him. We love you, Daddy Robert.
Yeah.
And we will be having the new Daddy of Montrose. Our new Mother of Montrose, by the way, for those who don't know, the new Mother of Montrose is Morgan Fairfield.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, she's fabulous.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And I missed that. Sorry. I was fighting with my mommy.
Oops.
I can't even say biological. I'm adopted. Her, you know, that woman in Oklahoma.
Ooh.
The one who fed you and clothed you all those years.
Yeah. Since I was 9 days old. The Louis Pen and Poster Contest for the Louis 35 is going to be this coming year. And mm-hmm. it's going to be a huge one. For those of you who have artwork for the pen poster designs, deadline is June 20th.
Ooh.
So we need to have those pens and poster designs by June 20th because voting on the new pen and the new poster for Louis 35, big year. It's going to
be
June 20th at the HCC meeting. If you want to know how to get them to HCC or you want to show up at the meeting with your pen and poster submissions, go to LouisWeekend.com. Just click on the icon for the pen and poster contest will give you all the information.
Okay.
The one other thing.
Yes.
Nomads. The Houston Nomads mm-hmm. are having their 5th anniversary.
Wow.
That's going to be July 13th.
Uh-huh.
14th and 15th.
That whole weekend.
Yeah.
July 13th, 14th, and 15th. Houston Nomads have been around for 5 years. They're an incredible leather group. Their registration starts at the 611, starting at 9 o'clock on July 13th. I believe it's 9 o'clock.
I think so.
Sometime sure. late at night.
You can go to the Houston Nomads website, and you can get there from the Louis website.
Okay.
But Houston Nomads, they have supported this community. They've done a lot for this community.
Yes.
Let's get out there and support the Houston Nomads on their 5th anniversary.
You bet.
And, Jimmy, anything else?
No. It's been a great segment. I'm glad you're here.
I'm having a ball with you. Thank you for letting me in.
And I think you might be back for more.
Oh, wait. You hear that? That's the cell phone.
Uh-oh. That means two.
No. If it's phone call, he's probably saying, no, it's not 9 o'clock. It's
registration starts at 7.
7 o'clock. So the Houston
Thank
Nomads,
you,
5th anniversary, July 13th, 6/11, starting at 7 o'clock. You may register.
Gotcha.
And just for that phone call, that Friday night is also Master Buzz's birthday.
Oh,
I am so dead now. Oh, no, I already knew it. You didn't tell me. I already knew that
so
it was
dead
birthday.
Now.
So everybody come out and have a good time celebrating Master Buzz's birthday. He'll be 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yet again.
Okay, well, he'll be celebrating the anniversary of his 21st birthday.
Gotcha.
So, and we love you. Thank you for being a part of the community and part of our hearts and part of our minds and our family. Even though you're... I love you, Buzz.
I didn't say a word. So
okay, we can go out with one or two. I've got Andy Bell, and I've got Right Said Fred.
We're blinking. Oh, do Andy Bell, Electric Blue. That's off of his debut album as a solo debut. Great song. Right Said Fred, I think you ought to play that just because everybody, the only thing they know is that one stupid song.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's like the worst thing they've ever done.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We'll see you next month.
You have a good one, Jimmy.
Okay.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
Andy Bell with Electric Blue.
Love that.
Right here on After Hours. Yes. That was, and that Ziggy happens to belong to Robert.
Yeah, well, we might want to give it back to him before he completely vanishes.
And he wants to head up the leather segment. What do you think?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Of course, I haven't even discussed it with Chris, but he's out of town, so what the hell.
Oh, well. Some decisions must be made in absence.
Yes, yes. Okay, let's see. We've got a bunch of folks here.
Yeah.
David is here.
Yeah.
Hey, David.
Hello.
And Ozzy's over there in the corner.
In the corner.
Yes. And who have we got back there?
The redhead. We got Scott.
With the hand.
Right.
Well, the hand.
It's now brownish red. Okay.
And Bobby, and you wrote a letter that got into Outsmart, and it is really good. Uh-huh. Somebody needs to read that.
Well,
who's the best reader around here?
Me. Oh. But it's your letter. Wait a minute, it's my letter.
Okay.
Thank you.
Get the author to read it.
Yeah, okay.
Anyhow, I went on a little bit of a rant about the whole... this idea of moving the Pride Parade. Anyhow.
Because nobody gay that I know likes it. Unless they're on the Pride Committee.
Unless, of course, they're on the Pride. Tim Brooke over for being such a supporter of the opinionated.
Yeah.
I love him. He has to be. He works with queer people.
There you go. Okay.
Anyhow, I write this letter to voice opposition to the idea of relocating the Pride Parade out of Montrose. I have been a resident of Montrose for most of the 17 years I have lived in Texas. I was 22 and only recently completely out of the closet. As both a gay man and a disabled person, I felt very alone. I found this place called Montrose and people who treated me simply as a person, just like anyone else. I found friends. I found home. During that time, Montrose was, much like the rest of the gay world, finding its voice in the face of the plague known as AIDS. I often made friends who would, sadly, die. Despite this, I watched our collection of individuals become a community. In the wake of great loss, our people found great strength. At no time was it more evident or powerfully brought home to me than on that one day a year in June when we marked the anniversary of the Stonewall Riots. If you don't get why it's in June, then learn some history. As a former New Yorker, I am keenly aware of Stonewall's place in queer history. As I said, our GLBT, etc., community found its voice there. And whether it was in pride or protest, we were being heard. It could be said that we have outgrown the need for a small place like this town. Perhaps. But how do we appreciate what we have if we forget from where it is we came? When we shouted, it was from here, in the very heart of Houston's gay center. AIDS activism, gay pride, spirituality, culture. It all started within the boundaries of what some have come to call our magic, our enchanted kingdom, or queendom.
Yeah, gotcha.
Change indeed has indeed come to our home. Townhomes and condos in shades of beige now replace much of the color which we once held so dear. We have sat back and watched idly as our murals and flags and homes were taken away, one by one. Now you would take our most honored events from their place? A line in the sand must be drawn, and it should be said, this far, no further. Change should never be confused with progress. Change often occurs when people see monetary gain to be made for a few. Progress occurs when a people, a community, as a whole, is benefited. Just because we can do a thing does not mean we must do a thing. We stand on the shoulders of those who struggle, sweat, tears, and sometimes even blood, brought us to the openness and freedom we so very carelessly take for granted.
to paraphrase wise words now long forgotten. For love or for life, I will not go back.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Oh.
Well, who did the quote come from?
That came from the 1987, I believe, March on Washington.
Oh.
Yes.
It's just, to me, yes, I realize our community is so much bigger than it once was. And no, Montrose has not been... There have always been more straight people here than there were.
Oh yeah, yeah. But it's been an artist community. It's been a place for everyone.
This was the first place I felt at home.
Yes,
I had to come halfway across the country to feel like I could be me, and it was here, you know. And I have seen it all. I have seen AIDS. I have seen bigotry. I have seen it all. And I have seen it all fought from here.
Yes, yes.
You know?
And even today, when so many of the people in our community maybe paired off and run off to the suburbs to live their lives, they are still drawn to the Montrose because that is home. That's where their community is. Yeah.
And there was a time when the police felt quite comfortable intimidating people.
Oh, yes.
In the Montrose.
Yes.
And now really the police are part of our parade.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, yeah. But this is, you know, the Montrose is where I learned to be part of a community.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I was first finding myself as a queer person out in the middle of nowhere, Texas, at school, I was... the out gay man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was the token. And then I got here to Montrose and really started integrating into the community, and I found there were a whole lot of other people like me. And, you know, I've lived a lot of different places besides Montrose, but no matter where I go, you know, this... I'm always drawn back to here, either to live or to socialize or, you know, do things for the community. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. Montrose is where my heart belongs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our original gathering places, which are bars, mm-hmm. are mainly here.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've grown so much as a city, there are a lot of bars that are outside of the Montrose, right. But it used to be that they were pretty much concentrated here.
And now we've gone beyond that.
But our community center is here. So many of our queer groups and social organizations meet here. Mm-hmm. It's
and
a centralized location.
Coffee shops.
Well, yes.
They take for granted the ability to sit in a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And Travis, who's not here tonight, was pointing out to me this afternoon that Houston, Texas, I mean, Austin as well, but Houston was in the vanguard in terms of early gay liberation.
Yes.
People started getting liberated here before a lot of other places in the country.
And
you wouldn't expect it to be Houston, but it was. And that makes the Montrose even more historically important.
Yes. And a lot of people in that early vanguard have... of course, gone.
Yeah.
But a couple of the very important, two of the most very important people in the early stages of making a community in the Montrose are still here at the station.
Yeah.
Pokey Anderson.
Pokey Anderson.
And Ray Hill.
Ray Hill. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... we're the epicenter.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a blend into the woodwork.
No. These two people were out when no one was out.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the book, but here, a year or so back, there was a book published to talk about, you know, the gay rights movement before Stonewall.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that did happen here in the Houston area.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Sears, Professor Sears, I think, wrote that. He wrote about early gay life in the South, and
right.
And of course Houston is included in that.
So there was a gay rights move developing. Just the Stonewall riots gave it a good kickstart.
Yes,
probably needed it.
Sure did.
From Mattachine to Stonewall, and. Like I've said before, as horrible as the AIDS crisis has been, that was part of our growing up process.
Absolutely. Boy, did we grow from that.
That brought us together to say,
no more.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to die because you don't care about a segment of your world, you know? You know, we're just because we're queer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We are a part of your world, whether you know it or not, whether you choose to see it or not, you know?
It's been the tradition on this show that every June I play a half-hour tape that was made, I don't know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, Salute to Stonewall. And it's interviews with some of the people who were at Stonewall, from the police to the rioters.
Right.
And you get a glimpse of what this is all about, why we march on the day we march.
And some of those people are gone.
And, oh, yeah.
A lot of those people.
Sylvia Rivera just died a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very instrumental. It was her high heel.
Yeah. There you go.
That's right.
Well.
That's right.
That was the shoe she was wearing when she put her foot down.
That's right.
That song that we do, you know, and remember some years ago at the Stonewall, it was the ball gowns that really held the ball.
Yeah, that's right. Sure did. Sure did.
Yeah.
Well, we need to wrap up. Laura Palooza is waiting in the wings, arms full of cool CDs, and you know she's. Yeah, I love the music that she plays. It's very much along the lines of a show I used to be a part of called Esoteric Adventures, and I just listening to you, it brings it all back.
It's different every week,
and it is different every week. I love that part too. I really do. And that's coming up in just a couple of minutes. We've got to put a couple of things in your ear. You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on listener-sponsored Pacifica Station, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston.
Really
we'll be back next week.
Yes.
And it's time for me to push a button.
Push a button, girl.
Yeah, and shut my mouth. See you next week.
Sunday, June 10th, marks four decades of Israel's illegal military occupation of Palestine against a backdrop of nearly 60 years of ethnic transfer and displacement.
To feel this freedom, it's very, very important.
This occupation is wrong, unjust, and will end.
We all have the dream that one day there will be a place that we can call home.
Tune in to a Pacifica National special, Cages and Dreams. 40 years of occupation, 60 years of dispossession in Palestine. Hear Palestinian voices from the older generation and today's youth movements, from refugee camps and the Palestinian diaspora. That's Cages and Dreams from Pacifica Radio.
This national special is co-hosted by Saeed Fatou of Arab Voices. It airs Sunday, June 10th at 6 p.m. Again, that's Sunday, June 10th at 6. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
KPFT's third annual summer youth program is in full swing. The youth program promotes the voices of youth and provides them with hands-on experiences. The program happens Thursdays and Fridays this summer, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. After you go through training, you'll have the chance to produce quality programming, file news reports, and acquire skills like
empty out the trash and go get people coffee.
It's not as simple as it looks, but it is fun.
The program is free. However, there are a limited number of places available, so sign up now for the best 10 weeks of your life. Hey, just saying that was the best 10 seconds of mine. So drop on by to our Thursday, Friday session, 10 to 6 p.m. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
The following program may contain language or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Federal Communications Commission permits the broadcast of some profanity during hours deemed to be safe harbor, when children are less likely to be listening. KPFT upholds a stricter policy, permitting the broadcast of sensitive material only between the hours of midnight and 5 a.m. The FCC forbids the broadcast of some sexual discussions or other suggestive matters, regardless of the hour. If you have any questions or concerns, please call the program director during business hours at 713-526-4000. This is KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.